Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
All right, what up, dog? What are the odds that I contact you on Instagram and the fucking day you're here is the day your book comes out?
It's pretty unlikely.
Kind of crazy.
A little bit.
Right? You know, yeah, it's kind of like the universe smiled upon us. You know what I mean? It's like synchronicity. If you want to believe in the simulation. Sometimes I do.
I'm with you. Sometimes you just see something, you're like, this is a simulation, right?
Right.
We're not in the real.
Yeah.
There's a second and a third and a fourth and so on.
Sometimes just things seem like God is showing you satire. Like there's just a little fun thrown in there.
I'm with you.
And a lot of it is on your Instagram page. I have to tell you, dude, I have wasted so much fucking time, so much time watching your videos going, what the fuck? Is that real? And so many things I've learned from it. It's very educational, but it's also very fun.
Thank you.
Cody Tucker, your book is called And Now You Know.
And now you know.
I didn't even know you had a book when I reached out to you. I just said, this guy's got to be interesting.
I mean, that remains to be seen, I think, but we'll find out
together.
Well,
you are on Instagram. How did you get started doing that type of a page? Because it's very specific.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been interested in, like, random facts, like, you know, origin stories of words, like movies, all these different things, like the dark side of history.
Right.
And I like telling people those stories, and they seem to enjoy it whenever I tell them. So I was like, well, why don't I just, like, make little videos and clip them, clip them up, make them look all right.
What were you doing before you were doing that?
I mean, I've always had a podcast. No one watches this thing, so it's all right.
we'll bump that bitch up now.
It might change now. But, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend watching the podcast, but it exists.
That's hilarious.
It's all right. But,
That is, by the way, so much better than please watch my podcast, like and subscribe. Whenever a video gets interrupted by like and subscribe, the last thing I want to do is like and subscribe.
I'd rather you just, if you watch it and like it, well, thank you. If you don't, you get in line.
Well, that's how podcasts get good.
Yeah.
That's what I started out doing with this. I never advertised this thing once.
Yeah.
This thing got where it is 100% word of mouth.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So I started watching pretty early, and it still had like a pretty decent following then. But I know like you started like.
We started in 2009.
Yeah. So this would have been like a couple years after that, even.
But when I started, me and my friend Brian, when we started, we weren't even thinking it was a podcast. We had already done these things where we'd stream live from the green room at comedy clubs back when it was on Justin TV, which became what, Jamie? Twitch. So we would just be, like Joey would be talking shit in the green room and we'd be having fun and, we'd just film it just for fun.
Gotcha.
And then I had a few friends that started doing internet shows. Tom Green was the big one because Tom Green had it all set up at his house.
He's incredible.
Dude. Oh, he's the best. Yeah. He's such a sweetheart, too. Yeah. It's like such a everything you would hope he'd be. That's who he is. Great, great fucking guy.
Yeah.
And, like really. Forward thinker early on. He was like, I think I could just do this from my house. Why don't I just do it? But it was too early. Like, this is 2007 and the internet sucked. It wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
No one had smartphones yet. It was like, but he was patient zero, I think.
Gotcha.
Him and then there was this Opie and Anthony show that I used to do.
Oh, they were amazing.
They were amazing. But Anthony Cumia started doing this thing live from the compound in his basement where he would do karaoke with a green screen holding a machine gun.
That's incredible.
He's nuts. He's out of his mind. And he had like beers on tap, so they'd be getting hammered.
Jesus.
And he's playing video games. He's a maniac.
Yeah.
And I was like, that looks like so much fun. I was like, he just has a studio that he set up in his basement.
Yeah.
And so we just started fucking around with the most bare of equipment. It was a fucking laptop webcam.
Yeah.
And we had like a USB mic.
Yeah.
Okay. We had one of them blue mics, silver ones. We had one of those.
Like 30 bucks at Walmart.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we started. And then, we just kept doing it. But telling people not to go to your podcast is classic. That's very fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually my thing. Because if there are people that do watch it and I think they like it, and I like those people. I'm glad those people are around, but it's not something that should ever become popular.
Well, you know, there's two schools of thought today with the youngins like yourself. It's like, just get famous at any cost.
Yeah.
Get on TikTok, share your dick on OnlyFans, whatever you have to do, fuck that. And you're in the fuck that category.
Yeah, I could care less about being having anyone know who the fuck I am. Which, granted, here I am. Which
I know it's kind of odd,
but
that's also why you're here, right?
Yeah.
It's also why your book came out today. It's like there's a synchronicity going on.
Something. There's something where, happening. Like, things are crossing over that I didn't.
So you just. You did your podcast, and in those stories that you would tell on the podcast, where you would drop some crazy information, you decided to start clipping them up.
Exactly. So I would end it with just like, oh, here's some like half-ass history, which is what I called like the segment. And then I was like, oh, here's like a half-ass history segment. I'd just ramble about some bullshit from like Napoleon or something.
I binged them today. And because, you know, I was getting ready for you to come in. It was fun. No, it was fun. You really freaked me out with the whole Outlaw Josey Wales thing. Like, I loved that movie. And now I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, no.
It's the guy who wrote the book that turned into the... I mean...
Tell the story, because it's so crazy.
So, yeah, there was a fellow named Asa Carter. So Asa Carter is this massive white supremacist. Like, he was in the KKK and then left the KKK because they weren't racist enough. He was like, y'all don't hate black people way more. Like, y'all should be hating these people way more than you should. Ugh. So he made his own version, like a splinter group of the KKK. And, I mean, he was part of, like, he would show up to, like, Nat King Cole concerts, try to drag him off the stage, you know?
Oh, my
like,
God.
And he became a speechwriter for George Wallace, not the comic, but, you know, the governor of Alabama, George Wallace, who was, you know, the segregation now, segregation forever. He was,
as you said, a massive piece of shit.
Massive.
In the video.
Horrible human being. I mean, just an all-around knucklehead.
So he's a speechwriter for that guy.
He helped write that speech, the segregation now, segregation forever. He was a co-writer of that speech. Then things kind of fell apart from him. George Wallace was like, you're too racist for me, buddy. like, I just don't want them to go to school with my kids. Like, I don't want them to not exist.
Oh, my God.
And, so he moved to Florida, changed his name kind of, I think, to Forrest Carter, I think is what he changed his name to, and started writing books. One of them was The Rebel Outlaw Josey Wales, which, you know, Clint Eastwood turned into.
God.
Outlaw Josey Wales.
I guess back then there was no Google, so a guy could do something like that, you would never know.
How would you know?
Like, well, that's like how Stephen King had Richard Bachman, remember?
Exactly. He wrote Running Man.
Yes.
He wrote Running Man as Richard Bachman and other things too, but yeah.
What is it, The Dark Half? Is it the other one that I really liked?
Is that Richard, is that
another I don't know Richard? If that was a, I think that was a Bachman.
The Talisman?
He had a bunch of them that were great.
Yeah,
that
I was gonna say,
cocaine worked so well for him.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, if there's ever a dude, and I know he's clean and sober now, and God bless him, and I feel terrible that the guy got hit by a fucking van, like the whole
crazy.
Deal. It's crazy.
Yeah. Is that?
The dark. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Speed dating is an interesting concept, isn't it? Setting an allotted amount of time to get to know as many people as you can. It increases your chances of finding a good match, and there's not a whole lot of room for bullshit. You have to cut to the chase to find what you're looking for. Wouldn't it be nice if you had something like that when it comes to hiring for your business? Well, good news. There's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter has a new Zip Intro feature that helps speed up the hiring process, connecting you with qualified candidates faster. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. As soon as you post your job, Zip Intro will get to work. You could even be talking to candidates in back-to-back calls the very next day. All you have to do is pick a time and it'll start scheduling top talent for you to meet. Enjoy the benefits of speed hiring with the new Zip Intro feature only from ZipRecruiter, rated the number one hiring site based on G2. Try Zip Intro for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Zip Intro, post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Degree Original Cool Rush Deodorant. You gotta love when a brand can own its mistakes. So last year, people got really mad when Degree changed their Cool Rush formula. Well, guess what? Degree listened, admitted they messed up, and are bringing the original Cool Rush scent back. Grab some from Walmart, Target, or other stores now for under $4. And remember why it's the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. The original Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Have Stephen King adaptation. Oh, so what's Stephen King? It wasn't Bachman?
George
what? Oh, he did another pseudonym. Jesus Christ.
I didn't
That's
know
how
that.
Prolific that guy was.
I had no idea
he's
he had
so
another
prolific
one.
He has extra pseudonyms.
He had a pseudonym for a pseudonym.
Bro, there's not That's a guy incredible. Who has ever lived who has made more bangers. More just...
Follows Thad Beaumont, a writer who achieves fame. So it's about that. That's the pseudonym
of
the guy in the book.
Because if you look on the
so
poster,
is it purely
it says Stephen King's name.
Yeah, I think
on
it's
the...
just the Google that the AI get.
Right, but I think that's the actual. Is that the trailer for the film or the poster for the film?
A writer who achieves.
George Romero made the movie.
Yeah, is that right what there, that image is though, or is that the Hutton, image from the book?
Timothy Hutton plays but, George
right.
Stark. So
no, I know that. But is that image is that from the book?
That's the poster
for the movie.
That's the movie George A. Romero.
Yeah,
so it says
see,
Stephen
that's
King.
That's why
there
it says
sure,
Stephen King
but,
is because they're selling it.
Yeah, you'd have to find a picture of the book and see if like the book says.
But bottom line is,
well, they all say Stephen
they all
King.
Say,
on
well,
them.
Why would you change it now? It's like, yeah. See, even the yeah. See if the one that he wrote is Bachman for sure. Like, what did he write as Bachman?
Well,
for
Running
sure?
Man was for sure Richard Bachman.
Okay,
I think
Running Man says Stephen
and
King.
And I think Talisman. I think that was one that also
he had a fake picture and everything.
That's amazing.
That's so wild.
I wonder who that guy is. Actually,
Richard
looks...
Manuel, a builder and friend of Stephen King's literary agent.
Incredible.
He's just a regular guy.
Just a guy. He's
just
like,
some dude.
Like,
and he's like, Stephen
buddy,
King's like,
listen.
Hey, bro, I'm going to make you famous. That's kind of crazy.
Oh,
he wrote Thinner, too.
When he inspired it by Bachman Turner Overdrive,
about that.
Which is amazing.
That's hilarious.
BTO, one of the greatest bands of all time.
So he did write The Dark Half. The surname Stark was later used in a King. Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
Hold on.
Richard Stark? Richard Stark is another one?
No.
Richard
is a tribute.
Fucking...
Richard is a tribute to author.
Got it.
Blah, yeah, so
did he write it as Bachman? He did.
There should be like
Bachman
a
books.
Bibliography, I wonder.
At the last moment he changed it.
At the last moment he changed it to Richard Bachman.
But Thinner was.
Gus Pillsbury was a different one he was going
to
use.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. At the last moment he changed it to Bachman. So Bachman was The Dark Half.
If I was a porn star, my name would be Gus Pillsbury.
Or was it The Dark Half? It says Thinner. Well, see, they're bringing up The Dark Half, so it has to be there. Stark was later used. Yeah. A surname Stark?
And
I don't
King's
know.
Novel.
Either way,
who knows
this Stephen King. It. Let's forget about it.
But I think Running Man, I'm pretty sure Running Man is one of them. So
he wrote so many good books that he's like, I'm giving these people too many books. Yeah. Let me write some under a fake name, Mom, the biggest book-selling fiction guy in the world.
It's insane. Have you ever looked at just like... The first five books.
Maybe that's what The Dark Half is about. It's like about his using of a pseudonym. Maybe that's why you're thinking.
Oh,
of
interesting.
I don't know.
Oh, well, that makes sense. The Dark
that does
half,
make
how
sense.
You have. But see,
well,
at the top it said Running Man.
Yeah.
Was, yeah. Okay.
The Dark Half book is great.
I've never read that one.
But it's so funny that King was able to pull this off because how many of his fucking stories about a writer who lives in Maine?
it's
so crazy. The guy just picks his home state, a writer picks his profession, and then insanity ensues. You know, like it's like a writer in Maine.
Well, and they're all based on just things that are happening to him. Like, I can't remember which book it is that's about him, like going through alcohol DTs. Oh, fuck. It's, I can't remember. But
The Shining. His bookography, like whatever you would call it. Is
bibliography?
Bibliography. Yeah, bookography.
Close,
if you look at his bibliography, it's insane.
Because
he wrote so many bangers.
Carrie's number one, and then it's like Carrie, Salem's Lot, The Shining, a couple other, It, like, and then Christine, which...
Yeah,
amazing.
I didn't enjoy the Dark Half movie. It's like, I hate that cliche of the book's better. Because it's never better because you can see the movie.
You're right.
But they never nail it.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
Well, The Shining kind of does because it's being done by Stanley Kubrick.
Right, but he hated it.
Yeah, he hated it because
which
he
is so nuts.
It.
Well, he said that he thought Nicholson turned crazy right away. And he wanted it to be a very gradual thing.
You know who he wanted?
Who?
Robin Williams.
Oh my God, he would have nailed it.
Robin Williams or Harrison Ford.
Bro, you ever seen Robin Williams in that 24-hour photo movie where he plays a psycho?
Photo.
Oh, that's it.
That's
it's a one-hour
dude,
photo?
That movie is so
good. Oh my
good.
God, it's insane. He's so good in it.
He might be one of the greatest actors of all time. Like
crazy how good
10.
He is in that movie because you just really believe he's a psycho.
Yeah, because he's so lovable at first, but there's all these little signs that like keep this guy away from your kids.
There's layers. Like, there's layers to that story.
Yeah, it's that's such a great movie.
He was a bummer when he died, man. That one bummed me out.
Yeah, I've only cried a couple times when like a famous person died. That's one of them. I like broke down. Heath Ledger and Steve Irwin were the others.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah, Steve Irwin especially.
Chadwick Boseman from Black Panther. Black Panther and what else was he in?
He was in 42, played Jackie Robinson.
The heartbreaking one, there's an interview with him where he's talking to that woman and he says, I'm already dead. And she doesn't know what he's saying because he didn't tell anybody. The dude went through the mill. He was filming the movie while he was battling cancer.
While everyone was making fun of him for looking skinny and creepy looking. It's like...
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Which, it is kind of
like... a gangster way to go.
It is.
So did Norm MacDonald. He did the same thing. Norm MacDonald didn't tell anybody that he had cancer. Just went up to Canada and died. He's battling it for years.
Yeah.
He told no one.
Yeah. You could kind of... it's one of those things that you can tell when you look back. Like, when you look back and watch, like, episodes of, like, his show, you know, Norm's show, and you're like, oh, you do.
I know. You see
little...
the puffiness and the drowned eyes. Yeah. His eyes look very tired.
That, to me, that's the funniest human being of all time.
He's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm sure you met him quite a bit, I would imagine.
I accidentally sat next to him twice on airplanes. Totally accidentally.
What a person.
And we were already friends.
Yeah.
So it was super cool. Like, I knew him from the clubs, and I knew him from being around. And my good friend Adam was a good friend of his. He used to do that show that they did together.
Adam Egget?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Adam
Egget. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Who's the talent coordinator at the Mothership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd known Norm forever. And then one time, I was flying back from somewhere, and I sit down, and then Norm plops right next to him. I'm like, dude, like, what
how
are the
doing?
Odds? And then we're having the most fun. It was the most fun.
That's
but the
awesome.
Second time was even crazier, because Norm sits down next to me. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
Just laughing, and he's so fun. We're talking all kinds of crazy shit. And he tells me, yeah, quit smoking. And fucking hard to do, man, but I quit. I feel so much better. I'm so glad I did. I mean, it's so bad for you. I go, yeah, good for you, dude. Fuck those cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
So we land, and he walks straight into the store and buys a pack of cigarettes and is literally lighting it before he gets out the door. And I go, what are you doing? I thought you quit. And he goes, yeah, but all that talking about cigarettes made me want one.
I mean, he did quit for a little bit, and then when he landed,
I know a lot of people have quit, and a lot of people, I mean, they keep pointing to, like, it's like everyone's playing Russian roulette with fucking lung cancer. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
You're playing, like, 80% of the people don't even get cancer, bro.
Which, I'll take those off. I mean, look, I'll tell you, smoking just looks so cool.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes, like... God, I smoke cigarettes, which I need to not do that, but God.
It does.
I do feel cool.
It's also, there's an, I don't even give a fuck about my health. Yeah. I'm out here thinking.
Well, I don't have to be smoking a cigarette for people to realize that. Nobody's looking at me like, Jesus.
But that's like accelerating your demise, like purposely accelerating your demise for a head rush, which is, I had to do this thing once. But buddy of mine had this sketch show, and they had this sketch that they were putting together, this idea, and he asked me to be like this troubled poet guy, and I said, okay, what do you think I should do? He goes, I really think you should be like smoking cigarettes. You should be like this guy just smoking cigarettes and talk. And I'm like, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
So I never smoked before, and that day I probably smoked like 15 cigarettes. And I felt like fucking dog shit.
Oh
dude.
My god.
My hands were shaking, and my friend Adam Ferrara, who's a comedian who's doing this with me, he smoked and he gave me his cigarettes. And I'm thinking, how do you do this? How are you doing this to yourself every day? This is so crazy.
In what time span do you think the 15 cigs?
I guess we were doing it all throughout the day, so it was probably 4 or 5 hours.
It's quite a bit. I mean, even for like a, because I don't smoke like, I'm not like a pack a day or something like that.
Well, that's good.
Probably a pack every 3 days. So.
Oh, that's not too bad, yeah, but it's still terrible for you.
Yeah, it's still not good. I mean, I try to justify it in my head. I'm like, oh, yeah, but I don't, I'm not
sitting
really out there.
I really do enjoy one right before I go on stage. I really do. It's
you smoke
it's
a
nicotine thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you can get nicotine from a but it's the delivery methods that's different. Like there's something about smoking it, and cigars is similar too. Smoking the nicotine, it's a very different thing than like nicotine pouches and stuff. Like, I've never done the gum, but there's a benefit to nicotine. It's just the delivery method that's what's terrible for you.
Yeah, I don't think nicotine's ever really been proven to just be horrible for you.
It actually is neuroprotective, which, like, I love saying those words because I don't really know what the fuck I'm saying, but it sounds like you're smart. Jillian Michaels was in here the other day, and she was talking about it. And she chews gum, and you know, it's neuroprotective. People are like, "Oh, you're trying to quit smoking?" She's like, "No, it's actually good for you." Like, but most people aren't aware of that. They just think of cigarette smoking equals cancer, equals nicotine, equals you're doing something bad.
Well, because the nicotine obviously gets you partly addicted, and then makes you smoke more cigarettes, which is horrible.
Yes,
so they do. There is like almost there's kind of like some blame you could put towards nicotine.
Well,
in that sense,
addictive
and...
With how much your privacy is being invaded online, VPNs are no longer just a nice thing to have. It's a necessity. Some people think, I don't need a VPN because I have nothing to hide. But that's exactly what data brokers want you to think, because their profits depend on you having nothing to hide. What you do online is your business. And if you want to keep it your business, you need ExpressVPN. With ExpressVPN, 100% of your online activity travels through secure, encrypted servers. It hides your IP address, so no one can use it to track and sell your online activity, and your privacy is restored. ExpressVPN is also a great tool to secure your sensitive information from hackers. If you're using public Wi-Fi, like at a hotel, airport, or coffee shop, anyone can hijack your connection and access your most sensitive information. With ExpressVPN, you know that your passwords and banking info are safe and secure. ExpressVPN is the number one ranked VPN by the experts at CNET and The Verge. And right now, you can get an amazing deal. They're offering 4 extra months free if you go to expressvpn.com/Rogan or tap the banner. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can get your 4 free months by scanning the QR code on screen or clicking the link in the description. Well, the real issue is that many cigarettes, they add a bunch of stuff to make them more addictive.
Well, right. That's the issue, is that if they would take all that out, they wouldn't. I mean, obviously, it's so bad you shouldn't be breathing smoke.
Yeah, it's like that's natural spirits, right? Those are the ones. Or American spirits. But did you ever see that Russell Crowe movie, The Insider, where he plays the scientist?
Jeffrey Wigand.
Right. Is that who the character was that he was playing?
That's who he's playing, is Jeffrey Wigand. Yeah. That's a cool.
That is so crazy that they did that.
Yeah, that makes you so mad when you watch it. You're like,
you knew.
Yeah. And like,
you knew and you tricked people by making it more addictive, like with chemicals.
Yeah, look how much.
That's crazy.
Look how much sugar's in food.
But here's my why is it okay to do that with cigarettes, but they would never be okay to do that with cheeseburgers? If we found out that McDonald's was putting fentanyl in the cheeseburgers and made you come back and eat more cheeseburgers there, we'd be like, no fucking way. That's crazy. You're making it more addictive? Yeah. That's crazy. You can't do that.
The sugar that's in it, it does the same thing.
Sort of.
I mean, kind
of. Sort of. Yeah, I would say it does. But it doesn't. It's not killing you. Well, it kind of.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of can. It's like very low dose poison. You know, essentially, like if you have a very good diet and you occasionally have a quarter pounder, you're gonna live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you, it's a low dose poison. Your body can filter out most of that stuff. The real problem seems to be when it becomes the primary focus of what you eat. Could you just get in a bunch of inflammation-causing bullshit that your body doesn't know how to get rid of? Right. Your body's like, what is this you're feeding me?
But God, it feels so good.
So good.
Jesus. I mean, in the moment, it is. Yo, that's heaven on earth.
I had a quarter pounder once a couple of years ago, and I haven't had one. If I do go to McDonald's, I always eat Filet-O-Fishes. I love those fucking
things. You do?
I love those things. They're so good.
They're that's favorite. Weird, man.
No, because I can't lie to myself and pretend that's a cheeseburger. You know, like
you can lie and say that that's fish.
Yes.
That ain't yes. Fish.
It's a thing. It's whatever it is. It's a sweet bun and a delicious, salty, fish-like thing in the center with that tartar sauce. It's just yummy. I'm not that's trying fine. To. Trick
you don't
myself.
Have to justify it to me. I mean,
I don't just, particularly like the taste of like those kind of burgers. I like a good smash burger or like an In-N-Out burger.
I'm with you. In-N-Out,
Five Guys.
In-N-Out, top of the line to
top
me
of
for
the
like
line.
Fast food.
Yeah,
kind of burger.
You can't go wrong, man.
It's the Chick-fil-A of burgers.
Can't go wrong. Yeah. Like In-N-Out burgers are. If you don't like them, I don't like you. How about that?
Do you like Whataburger?
It's okay.
It's horrible.
It's not. That people want to compare sucks. It to In-N-Out. Like Texas people get crazy. Like you're getting crazy. Yes. This is how we had a civil war. Like you gotta look at at things realistically.
Now in that war, I'm taking the Whataburger people over the In-N-Out
for sure.
People.
100%. The In-N-Out people are not armed.
No, those Whataburger bubbas are coming to.
I mean, they started In-N-Out in the wrong state for guns.
Oh, yeah.
That's the state that's telling people that if someone breaks into your house, you should flee. You shouldn't tell them to get out and shoot
get out
them.
Of your own house. Yeah. Yeah, that's his name.
You should gather up your child and run up the hill behind your house and flee and hope they don't shoot you in the back.
Well, that's a good idea. Why
it's
not?
Like you can't. It's like that piece of shit speechwriter. Like
Asa Carter?
Yeah. Yep. There's going to be nutty on both sides.
Yeah.
There's going to be nutty on the left and nutty on the right. And
for sure.
It's up to us, which is like most people are just reasonable. Reasonable,
yes.
In the center, live and let live.
Yeah.
If you had like an ethic for this country, what are we about? We're supposed to be about freedom, live and let live. But the problem is the people on the far crazy screaming left and the people on the far crazy screaming right are all fucking losers.
Yeah.
And those fucking losers make you be connected with them and all their stupidity and poisons all the ideas that they agree with.
Right.
On both sides.
And they're so much louder, so you think there's more of them, when in reality
exactly.
It's like, what, 5% probably of each side?
Exactly.
You know? And then the other
I don't even
90.
Think it's 5%. They're just the ones that are online all day long.
Right.
And then on top of that, you get a bunch of people who are paid to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God. When you see tweets, like people get busted all the time now, these air quotes influencers.
Yeah,
they'll tweet something, and then you'll see like 30 versions of the same tweet with the same wording.
Yeah.
What is going on?
That's hilarious.
Like from now, forever, I'll never listen to you again.
That's amazing. And there's,
on both sides.
That's so funny.
It's not a left wing thing, it's not a right wing thing.
Yeah.
I see it with fucking everything. It's like, there's like large scale manipulation going on. That's like really nuts to see.
I like it.
Did you see about that Reddit dead internet thing?
Reddit dead. I don't
think
so.
Did you see, Jamie?
No,
do you know about this? Like, there's, I believe it's might be a lawsuit.
Oh.
So this company used a bunch of chat bots. I believe it was on Reddit. I just sent it to someone. I'll find it if you can't find it. But I think. I forget what the argument was about, but essentially they're getting in trouble for facilitating these fake arguments, like as an experiment.
Oh.
Which is, if
that's wild.
For sure, countries are doing that. Reddit threatens to sue researchers who ran a dead internet AI experiment on its site. Deeply wrong on a both moral and legal level.
Well, that's not good.
So this is what they did. Change My View is the subreddit. Long been a contentious place for Reddit users to post an opinion and understand other people's perspective. Forum filled with fiery but largely civil debates covering everything from the role political activism to the dangers of social media and echo chambers. Okay. Lately, though, not every user posting on the forum has been a real human. As 404 Media reported this week, University of Zurich researchers dispatched an army of – boy, Zurich, that's not a good place to do it from, guys. You shouldn't be involved in
– No, the Swiss.
Where you look at you sketchy.
Yeah.
Research dispatched an army of AI chatbots to debate human users on the subreddit in a secret experiment designed to investigate whether the tech could be used to change people's minds. Mm-hmm. The optics were horrendous, with bots claiming to be characters, including a survivor of sexual assault and a black man who opposes the Black Lives Matter movement. Worse yet, the AI models scoured the post history of users they were applying to in order to be as convincing as possible. Basically, a formalized trial run of the dead internet theory that much of the internet is already AI generated. You know about that theory?
Huh?
The AI dead internet theory? So the idea is that AI becomes sentient and completely fakes the internet.
Fakes the internet?
Yeah, pull it up, Jamie.
Like, well, I don't know if I explained it in that article.
But there was a link in that article under when it got to dead internet theory. There was actually a link. It was right there. Where is it? Scroll down a little bit.
It didn't have a link.
The link was actually about it passing the Turing test, which is it already
right,
did.
Right.
Which is
goes back to 2016.
Oh, did the internet die in 2016?
Is an online community think so? There's a lot of kooks, like people with schizophrenia, that get things right. Like, they
is kind of the problem. Is they're not always wrong.
Well, like, eventually they're right. Like Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. You know that guy. His whole thing. Yeah. Was that technology was going to overtake the human race.
Right.
And I think he's right.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't necessarily wrong. He was just wrong to be blowing people up.
Oh, well, he was really fucked up. Did you ever see the
MK
Netflix
Ultra stuff?
Did you see the Netflix documentary when they go over his life when he was a baby, when they left him in the crib?
Yeah.
And he never got touched for like months?
Which immediately... Permanent damage. You're screwed.
You can't fix that.
Yeah. Like, so you get those wide eyes, you know, where that's how you tell someone's crazy.
He gets in the Harvard LSD studies where they humiliate him while he's on acid.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was part of the MK Ultra. Like, he had that professor that was like recruiting impressionable but highly intelligent young men. And
how crazy is that program?
MK Ultra is wild.
Wild.
Dude, that is one of the most interesting. The CIA in general, I mean, just like, this is a rabbit hole of just the craziest things I've ever seen. But like all the Manson stuff, which I'm obsessed with Charles Manson, so all that stuff is...
Oh, the Manson stuff's crazy. Yeah. The CIA stuff's not even a rabbit hole. It's like one of them labyrinths that they find in Turkey that could, like 2,000 people could live underground. You're like, who built this? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, like the
How long has this been going on?
Like the French catacombs where it's just like people get lost every day and all that.
If you go down the CIA rabbit hole, you'll find a city, like a civilization.
Atlantis.
Like, and then you have to think, okay, but also Russia has the same sort of operation going for Russia.
Right.
Right? Every country has them.
Yeah, everybody has the CIA, KGB, I mean.
So they have to exist.
Secret police,
so like,
all that.
Let's all get rid of the CIA, and then what? We get taken over completely by Russia and China? It's like, slow down, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's a nutty AI war going on right in front of your face. Yeah. You just haven't heard the bombs go off yet.
Right.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
And if they pulled that off from the University of Zurich, which is kind of creepy, that a university would, like, do that, pretend to be a, you know, a black guy who's against the Black Lives Matter movement and a woman who survived a sexual assault. You're just making it up with AI chatbots? Like, this is
insane.
Fucking wild. And just to see how people react, what the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Or find somebody who actually is one of those people and then see how people react. If that's what you want to do, like, you don't have to pretend to be one. There are lots of people who...
Yeah, you
could
probably
just volunteer, and you could have a whole study control group. You know, have the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't have to do it anonymously on the internet under false pretenses. No. Like, you wouldn't have to do
unless
that.
Unless you're just wanting to have fun. I mean, I guess that's their.
But the problem is, anytime you're doing a study with real people, they know they're in a study.
Yeah, what's that? There's a law, like a where like you can't something about being observed, like ruins the thing, whatever, like. It's part of like the, I don't know. I suck at science, but I think there's something.
Well, I don't even know if that's science. I'm just talking about like humans. Like if people know they're being watched as a part of a study.
Yeah, you behave completely differently.
Yeah. You're going to influence their behavior.
Well, it's just like if you get asked a question to be part of a survey, you're not answering that thing accurately.
Right.
Even if it's anonymous.
Right. You're,
just because you know that like your answer is going to be. Make you look maybe a little bit bad, you'll church up your answer a little. Maybe not outright lie, but if it asks you how many drinks do you have a week, you're not telling them the exact amount. You're not counting them up. You're going, 6 to 8 sounds about right.
Yeah, this uncertainty is why I think we're super vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because this uncertainty is why we're all going to be very vulnerable. Excuse me.
Yeah.
sorry, we're going to be really vulnerable to any sort of electronic bridge mm-hmm. that they start using, like whether it's a wearable or an implant
yeah.
that lets you legitimately read minds, which I think, I fucking think is in our lifetime.
God, I hope not.
It's so scary, dude, because we'll give it up to know the truth. People will give it up to know the truth.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about how much of your data you give just so that you can Google things. Like, think of how much money they make off of your data and giving out your email address and all the fucking spam texts that you get every day, all the chaos. You gave that up.
Yeah, I blindly
just for
give
free
it up.
Internet. Yeah, just for free Google.
Yeah, I give it up. I don't give a damn. I just give it all up.
Everybody does. Yeah. But imagine like what Google would cost. Like if Google was a pay thing, and the only way you could ever know anything about what's going on in the world, you have to search it. Every search engine costs money.
Right.
It's like, whoa. But instead, you get this free value. But wouldn't you rather not pay? Of course.
Yeah.
But what if you paid for it, and then they couldn't use any of your data ever, and it was a totally like honest relationship, and you're not allowed to curate the information either.
Yeah.
You just have to like put out the information as it exists online.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We gave up privacy. We gave up our data, and we didn't even think about it. We didn't even know it was a thing that we were giving up. And then we're gonna give up sentience. We're gonna fucking be connected to the hive mind.
Yeah.
I really think so.
Yeah, because it's weird, like with the, you know, online like data privacy. Like you don't really know what it is that you're giving up. It's not like normal privacy where, like, if somebody asks, like, hey, can I take a picture of your driver's license? You'd say, no. What are you talking about? No, you can't.
Right.
But they can get the majority of that information through, you know, they can track, you know, get your address, get your, they can find out even more information about you through giving up, like, your privacy, like, data privacy.
Yeah.
But we don't, like, know, we don't have, like, a list of what they're getting. I mean, I guess you do if you read that whole damn thing, but who's reading that? Like, the privacy terms and
conditions.
Nobody
reads that shit. Somebody told me there was something that we might have to edit this out if it's not true. But somebody told me there's something fucked up about Google's terms and whatever terms apply. They're the thing that you have to agree to. That it has something in there that you'll agree to mediation.
To mediation?
Yeah, like in case of some sort of a dispute. A legal dispute that you've agreed to mediation in so you're not going to sue them.
So you can't really, like whenever you get hired at a new job, they have those kinds of like clauses typically. Mm. Yeah, that's so weird.
If it's true,
we need
to find out if it's true. Cause somebody was telling it to me, and I was like, wait, what?
Whew.
Yeah, that sounds insane. Except as required by applicable law, mediation is voluntary, and neither you nor Google are obligated to settle disputes through mediation.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know the context in which you were told it, because this is like for developers.
But this is, I said
know.
Uber.
I thought you said Google, I thought.
No, oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Uber.
Oh, okay.
Uber. I'm sorry. I probably mumbled.
Uber.
Okay. Uber's terms of service include a binding arbitration clause, meaning users agree to resolve disputes through arbitration rather than in court. This arbitration is individual and non-consolidated, meaning you can't join with others in a class action suit. Uber also limits its liability and states that drivers are independent contractors, not employees. If you have a dispute, you can try to resolve it through mediation, but it may ultimately be resolved through arbitration.
That's wild. Jesus.
That's kind of wild. It's like we have our own rules.
Yeah.
Our laws. No. Forget about the laws of the land. No, you agree to a legal contract. That's like very sneaky.
Very.
Because right? if there's laws, if we have laws to prevent fraud and laws to prevent negligence, we have those for companies. And you're a company. Like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not even a company.
Yeah.
These people, they're independent contractors.
Right.
Oh, you have no liability at all and you make all the money. What a great deal. Who did you pay? Who did you fucking pay off to get that sweetheart of a deal?
Yeah, and also, how many people know what arbitration is? Because I'll be honest, I don't know what it is. I was just kind of going with it.
Sounds scary if you got to go through arbitration.
I could not explain
I don't want to do that.
What arbitration is.
Let's
find out. I just kind of agreed with everything.
Well, I think they're saying that you have to have a conversation with them outside of like a judge and jury ruling. You know what I mean? Like, we have to have some sort of mediation. Yeah. I think that's what they're saying. Probably. I could be wrong.
Well, if that is, yeah, I'm sure that's in your best interest.
That's not,
yeah, that's wild.
The thing about Uber is if they're just private contractors, then it becomes like, okay, what is your responsibility to screen these private contractors? Because some of these people might be psychos, and, you know, you're a woman and you get in the car with someone who hasn't been vetted and they're a psycho. That's... Where is it based? On the moon?
Talking about the laws of the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
The
Netherlands. Well, that would be a good move. You got to start somewhere where the, you know, the Nazis rolled through with fucking tanks.
So it says it's either that or Luxembourg, whichever one you want.
Did the Nazis get the Netherlands?
It keeps talking about Amsterdam. Well, yeah, that's where
Anne Frank
works. Oh, that's right. Amsterdam.
Vienna Convention.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods shall not apply. Okay. Except as well as set forth in these terms shall be exclusively governed and construed in accordance with the laws of the Netherlands, excluding its rules on conflicts of laws. Excluding its rules on conflicts of laws. Jesus. What does that mean?
I don't.
That's a weird thing to say.
This may as well be Portuguese as far as
in I'm accordance concerned. With the laws of the Netherlands, excluding its rules on conflicts of laws.
I have an idea.
So
I,
conflicts
what do you
of
think
laws
it is, Jamie?
Must be a
I should copy and paste this in like Grok or ChatGPT.
Oh, no. We're going down so many rabbit holes.
Explain this to an American, please.
Kids use Uber so much, man, that like a small percentage comparative to the past of kids are getting their driver's licenses.
Good.
You're probably right.
Perfectly fine with that.
God, is Grok your favorite to use? What do you like to use most?
I bounce back and forth. You have to go. Yeah, I honestly think you have to test them all when you're asking a question you really want the answer to.
It's very responsible.
They give you varying responses. I had a ChatGPT lie to me yesterday 4 times in a row.
Look how quick this is. Let me break this down for.
Isn't it wild?
An American audience in plain language.
It's insane.
This selection of a contrast explains. See, this is what I'm saying. Like, if it's already happened.
Yeah.
If AI has already taken over, we've already agreed by the timing of your book, the synchronicity is real, and that maybe the simulation is real. And then if it's going to be simulated, it's not going to be simulated by a bunch of people. It's going to be simulated by artificial intelligence.
No, there'd be way more mistakes if it was people.
Yeah. Dutch law applies. The contract governed by the laws of the Netherlands, not U.S. law. This means Dutch legal principles will guide how the contract is interpreted, except for conflicts of laws rules, which deal with choosing which country's laws apply. Oh, that's what it is. Also, an international treaty called the Vienna Convention, which covers sales of goods, doesn't apply here. So essentially they're saying, like, we go by the Netherlands laws. If you have different laws in the United States, go pound sand. Those don't matter. This is in the Netherlands. Your lawsuit's here.
It also probably depends on what happened. Like if it's a speed limit thing, you go by the rules of the speed limit. But if it's something about, you know, interpersonal, the driver and the and
don't going you into... think that if you do business in a particular country, you'd have to follow the laws of that country? Doesn't that just
you would think? Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even trying to be unreasonable here. Maybe they're better in the Netherlands. Maybe they're more fair. I don't know. It's not even a value judgment. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they just want best for their customers.
Yeah.
So they say, you know what? If they really want to sue the fuck out of us and win, really should do it in the Netherlands. Maybe.
Isn't that where the Hague? The Hague is in the Netherlands, right?
Is it?
You know, where the world, like, what do you call it? Crimes against humanity, like war crimes is all in the Hague. Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know if that means anything.
I don't know if it means anything either. But I would imagine if you're doing business in China, you're not allowed to say, but U.S. rules only. We only got to, so if you want to sue us, it's like, you got to fucking sue us in Alabama.
They'd be
like, fuck you. We'll sue you right here. Sit your ass down.
You're
what are you
in
talking about?
Our place.
Yeah, like, you're doing business in China. You get sued in China, motherfucker.
You should always, no matter what, wherever you are, you got to follow those laws.
That would
I mean,
be
how
reason-
would
that
not-
seems super reasonable.
Seems like it.
It seems like
you
shouldn't be able to avoid that by like setting up shop in some fucking dictatorship somewhere. You know, like your homies with some guy who's a dictator, and you're like, bro, you want to make some money together? Let me incorporate in your country. Yeah. And let's fucking raise some cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very weird. It's very weird. It's the, but the driverless car thing might be even weirder, because that's a solution out of it. Like, man, I don't trust these Uber drivers. They're sketchy, man. Good. Get in one of those fucking robot cars.
The Waymos.
Yeah, get in one of those Waymos where you can't even bribe it, okay? If the government's trying to get you, and they have a setup for you, go, bro, change the plans. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you $500. You're going to drive me to Ohio. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you could do that. If the government's after you and you're in a fucking Uber drive and the guy's cool, you go, listen, dude, I'm going to make this worth your while. It's a 4-hour drive, 4 hours back.
Yeah, how do you do that to a Waymo?
You don't. They get you. They shut the car off. They lock the doors.
And then you're locked in an Uber contract, probably.
Yeah. Waymo's partnered with Uber.
Oh, I know, because I was going to get in one yesterday. I was like, I haven't been to Austin in a long time. Like, I used to come down here a lot, like, in high school and whatever, you know, sneak into bars and whatnot. And I saw these Waymos, like, what the hell is this thing? I've never heard of this. Didn't know this existed. And I see it, like, driving around, nobody driving. I'm like,
weird.
I do not like this at all. But immediately downloaded the Uber and Waymo app because I was like, well, let me just get one to take me up to like 6th Street or something.
Did you get in?
No.
No?
No, I chickened out. I just don't think. Because what if it just doesn't want to take me there? Like, what if something happens where he's like, you know what I would like to do? Take you down 35 at about 90 miles an hour in the wrong lane, you know, in the opposite direction.
What if my front camera goes out and I can't see what's in front of me and I just start plowing into other cars? I'm not saying that that's going to happen or wherever will happen. I'm sure there's a bunch of backup cameras. Don't get me wrong. But it just sketches me out. Although I do think it's inevitable.
Yeah, I looked it up. There's only been one fatality involving one, and it wasn't even their fault. It was a driverless one where someone rear-ended the Waymo. So I was like, well.
They seem pretty safe. Like, in terms of like the way they drive, too. They drive real slow and steady, and they're easy to avoid.
I can see taking one, like, if you're just going around, like, a neighborhood or something, you know, you're just, like, you're never going above 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Getting on, like, the interstate in one of these things.
Imagine if you could show this to Ted Kaczynski. Get him away from me!
He's like, I was right.
I was right. They're coming to get us.
God, back they to are, my man. Cabin.
Yeah. We are allowing them to come to get us. We're paying for them. We're psyched. We're like, whoa, this is cool. Yeah. I'm guilty of it. I have a Tesla that does auto driving. You go doot doot.
Yeah.
You turn this button on, and it fucking stops at stop signs, hits its blinkers, goes around stuff. It's crazy.
Do you use it?
Very rarely.
Okay.
It weirds me out, but I do sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it like I've driven me home 3 or 4 times, just like doot doot, just like this is crazy, just because it's weird, you know. But I'm always my hands are close. You know, I'm never like. Looking at my phone or anything like that. That's crazy.
I would trust that. Like, if you know, just sitting in there and like kind of you could take control if need be.
But that's the bridge, bro.
Yeah.
That's the bridge.
I don't like a bridge.
That's the bridge to transhumanism.
No, I think we all need to stay in our separate lives. No bridges. No.
I agree, but I think we're going. I think we are the last of these kind of people. And then the people from now on will be like personally, like physically integrated with some kind of electronics.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit. Dude, I'm too much of an acoustic type fella. I can't be.
I think there's so much wild genetic stuff going on right now that they're going to change what it means to be a person within our lifetime. Like, there was a thing in China. See if you could find this. Do you know what a tardigrade is?
No.
Tardigrades are these really weird little almost insect looking things that are unbelievably durable.
Oh,
they're tiny, microscopic little fuckers.
Yeah, they call them like something bears or something.
Yeah. What do they call them? What kind of bears?
Little water bears.
Water bears.
So these little fuckers can survive forever in space. For whatever reason. They go into like hibernation in space. And they think there's some of them from the Japanese lunar lander that are actually on the moon. They think tardigrades are on the moon and that they're like in a suspended state of animation, and that if you brought them back to the United States, they'd kick back in and be alive again. That's how crazy these little fuckers are.
That's so weird.
So there was this Chinese experiment where they're integrating tardigrade DNA into human DNA.
That's a good idea. There's nothing that could ever go wrong with doing that. Jesus.
But what happens if someone develops like a bulletproof immortal human that lives, like literally lives forever unless it gets hit with a meteor? Like, that's not outside of what's possible, man.
No.
They developed, or they were developing some kind, see if you could find that first before I make you Google this, but they were trying to develop some sort of bulletproof human skin using spider silk. So they were going to.
Makes sense, like Kevlar's spider silk.
But yeah. Your own skin.
Oh.
Like with gene splicing.
I don't like that. The gene splicing editing. Thing freaks me out. Splice, like that movie. I don't know if you ever saw that with Adrian
Brody. I did.
Brody.
Oh, ooh, that was crazy.
Is a great movie, but like just seeing all the, I'm like, yes. That's what my mind immediately goes to is him banging this thing with its
that
dragon
alien
wings.
Thing. Yeah, that yeah. thing was sick.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a kind of a goofy movie.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't sure. like no. wow, I would really believe no, that was happening. No, it was
Schindler's List or something. Yeah, it was,
I mean, yeah, it was kind of goofy, but yeah. it was fun. And it was just very strange, you know, yeah. that like because you go, okay, I could kind of see that happening
for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think so. I mean, that's yeah. kind of what a lot of that is. I just, what was that CRISPR? You remember that thing was kind of like, that was a talking point. For
well, they
a
have
while.
CRISPR 2 now, which is even more effective Jesus. Apparently.
This is made by an artist.
Bulletproof skin is made of goat. No, this isn't it.
Goat.
No, there was. What's that?
Lab-grown skin reinforced with spider silk can stop bullets, but. When you go to what it actually is.
Oh, so it's bullshit?
It's not bullshit, but it's just, you know, it's someone goodness. Sort of explaining things differently.
I mean,
I thought there really was like a, it was a study skin. About human skin.
That's what I think that they were trying to say.
Oh, so it's like a bullshit headline in this story?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
And this is back from 2018 is when this went.
Did updated. You find anything in the tardigrade thing?
Yeah, and it had, they were explaining what it did. So there's, it showed that there was a clean transfer. New cells function normally.
Increase but also demonstrated increased rate of cell growth. Growth.
They're trying to make them immune to radiation is what the idea was.
They're making Jesus. Super people, man. They're making X-Men. That is so crazy.
That is wild.
They're going to put
I don't like
fucking
that
tardigrade
at all.
Genes into humans.
God, that makes me so uncomfortable.
They may create super soldiers. What the
Jesus.
Fuck? So, okay, China has already done these genetic experiments on babies that are supposed to inoculate them to HIV, but also somehow increase their intelligence. And okay. the guy got in trouble, and they said, you're bad. You shouldn't have done that research yeah. that we paid you to do. And so they put him in jail for like a couple of years, yeah, called to play golf.
Right.
And then
Goodfellas
now prison. He's out. Yeah. But that happened. And that's yeah. just what we know about publicly. Like,
right.
Why would they tell if they were like making super soldiers yeah. and if they really like by the time we hear about it, yeah. there's probably some mountain in China that has an underground base just like we have, just like Area yeah. 51. Yeah. You got some base carved to the side of a mountain and they're doing wild shit yeah. over there
where Jared Leto lives or whatever.
He lives in the LA one.
Yeah,
he lives in the one that's connected to the music scene in Laurel Canyon.
This episode is brought to you by Degree Original Cool Rush Deodorant. You gotta love when a brand can own its mistakes. So last year, people got really mad when Degree changed their Cool Rush formula. Well, guess what? Degree listened, admitted they messed up, and are bringing the original Cool Rush scent back. Grab some from Walmart, Target, or other stores now for under $4. And remember why it's the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. The original Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Canyon, you know, because it's all yeah. like, you know, the whole music scene has like weird intelligence agency.
The Laurel
roots.
Canyon thing is strange.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, with all those people like Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, well, maybe not Neil Young, but like, yeah, the, like a lot of those artists had like
too many
Vietnam.
Connections.
Yeah, and Jim Morrison's dad started Vietnam.
Yes.
I mean, that's.
Like Jim Morrison's dad was like a serious military man.
Yeah, he was the Navy Admiral during the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah. yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, You first hear about that one, and we go, what? Get out of here.
No.
But then you hear, well, no. Like, it's not like these artists didn't exist, but why did they become famous? Why did they get promoted? Like, what was it about? Was it a – do you think it's yeah. like a psychology? But because, like, take a guy in the Laurel Canyon scene like Hendrix. Like, you can't make a Hendrix accidentally. Or you can't make a Jim Morrison. Even though his dad was like, there's something about that guy. The way yeah. he sang, his just the way it felt like when right. he was on stage. He was a star, yeah. man. I yeah. don't think you could turn a person who isn't that into that.
No, not even close.
No.
No, no. You can pump up like a pop idol. You can't really pump up a rock
right.
star.
Right. You like can make a boy band.
Yeah, you can make a boy band. Yeah. You could, you know, make Ariana Grande out of, right. you know, clay and send her ass out at there.
You can't make Bob Dylan.
God, no, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that to Jim Morrison. You can't do that to, like, a lot of those. Like, a actual rock star is just, that's like a flash in the pan. Like, it happened. We don't know how it happened.
Any kind of musical star, it's like, it either, you know, there's no way, I shouldn't say no way, but I don't think the intelligence agencies can, like, get a guy and train him to be that.
No, you could, like, take a budding scene and pump it up, but that scene's already there. Like, it was already going to exist. Like, it already was existing. I mean, there was, like, the beatnik stuff in New York that was already happening way before any of this. So, like, and they were just kind of the next generation of that, just the West Coast version. But there's, you know, there's, like, that's all, that was already there. So, yeah, if you want to say there's, like, a conspiracy that they pumped it up and, like, put more money into, like, marketing their music to make sure that those artists' music got sold more and played on the radio more, like kind of a payola sort of thing.
Right.
That makes sense. I mean, that could be. I don't know that it happened, but.
I know. It's confusing, right? Because you want to draw conclusions, but then you got to go, okay, you can't invent Janis Joplin. You can't make that in a lab.
No.
Like, you know, when she's singing Piece of My Heart, you know, like, that is either, that's like, God just kissed her with this talent.
Yeah.
You can't, like, engineer that, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No, there's no way.
But if they could do that, they could manipulate all of reality.
Well, if they could do that, then they should probably do another one. Jesus Christ. I mean, the amount of times, dude, that I've seen, like, people on TV that are supposed to be these, like, massively famous artists, I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, in the age where I should still know who all these people are. Like, I'm pretty young, but, like, yeah, I don't know who they are, and they all sound horrible. Like, I don't, this is the proof of there being some simulation where we're all just, like, listening to the same. But I wonder if people thought that about every damn genre of music. Like,
I think they did, but I think there's something particularly lost about this current generation because of social media.
Yeah.
Because of what we're talking about with those chat bots arguing with each other, and we know for sure that happens all over Twitter and Instagram. There's a lot of bot accounts and just... I think people are super confused as to, like, what's, like, a real thing.
Right.
What's real? What resonates? Like, what feels, what's cool and what's not? What's being promoted and artificially astroturfed, and what's just fucking cool where it draws people into it? And it's harder to tell now. It's tricky.
Well, it also seems like there isn't, because, like, you know, you go back to, let's say, like, the 60s, and you think, like, okay, late 60s, this is the time of, like, you know, Hendrix and, like, the Rolling Stones, the Sgt. Pepper, like, these, like, the highly influential experimental musicians.
Eric Clapton.
Cream was, like, you know, hadn't broken up yet. They broke up in, like, 70. But, like, the number one song in, like, 1969, or one of them, was, you know, Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, one of the most mainstream bubblegum pop songs ever. It's, like, there was all, but those, like, Hendrix and stuff were still there. Like, it was in the zeitgeist. It was still popular. But now it's like those types of people are nowhere to even be found. And it's all just the Sugar Sugar type things, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
But there's, like, still a lot of really good bands now.
Well, there are.
The thing is, like, the whole music business is weird because you don't sell anything anymore other than tickets to come see people.
Yeah.
But yet there's still a giant industry that is involved in promoting and taking these artists and, you know, essentially locking them up to these deals.
Well, yeah, because you get the ticket money. I mean,
yeah, but they get the ticket money now, and that's the thing that the music companies didn't used to get.
Exactly. So yeah, you still are going to market, distribute the way that you would have in the past, but now you're just getting your slice of cake from a different... you know, you're getting it from a different area than you used to. But you're still pumping them out, you know, pumping them up for the same reason, ultimately, to make money. It's just you're getting it in a different way.
What I'm saying is that now a bunch of people are emerging that aren't doing any of that stuff. You got, like, your Tyler, the Creator type dudes.
Yeah.
Completely disconnected from that system.
Yeah.
Makes his own music.
Right.
Makes his own... He's the creator of his own domain. And
yes.
You don't need all those people. And so... You have this weird thing happening now where you have a lot of, like, AstroTurf stuff, a lot of stuff that's just, like, thrown out there to try to get people to link. It sounds like stuff that people like and it's created. But you still have a lot more opportunity for legit artists to just like Zach Bryan just emerged from like TikTok clips or whatever they were.
Yeah, right.
YouTube
right.
clips.
Yeah, there's always going to be the ones who come out in like the indie way, you know, of like a what Tarantino was for like movies, you know, like come out like I'm doing this all on my own, and like there's always going to be those people. I just think it seems like there's not a lot of those.
But when they break through, it fucking means something.
Yes,
like and Oliver Anthony.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to hear his new song and we can't play it on the show?
Sure.
Yeah. How about that? Well, everybody at home, we'll be right back. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Matt.
Dude.
See?
That Jesus
exists. Right? So in the middle of all this honey, sugar shit that you're seeing today, there's still Oliver Anthony. There's still people out there that are legit. They're legit. There's a bunch, man. There's a lot. There's just a lot of noise.
Yes, true. And I think I also just don't try to find things as much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, pursue it the way I probably should. Because in my head, I just have this, like, bias of, like, if it came out the last 20 years, man. I don't care. Like,
it's hard to find stuff. You know, it's like I get suggestions from a lot of my friends. That's some of the best songs.
Yeah,
but also Spotify has a really good. I know I work for Spotify, blah blah. But for real, their suggestion thing is legit.
It's amazing.
The algorithm's very good. It's legit. It knows like the kind of vibe you're into.
Yeah. I agree. Because I'll look, you know, put in just some like random playlists or like in my head think of like, well, what do I want to hear like right now? How about like 70s garage rock, and I'll just put that in, and there's like all this amazing stuff. It'll have like some deep cuts from like the Stones, which is like one of my favorite bands, and like, you know, just all this other stuff that I've never heard before, but it all came out around that time, has the same sound, and there's never a miss on that whole list of like 200 songs. Like,
yeah,
this is like incredible.
Like, there's some great playlists.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's what's interesting too about people curating their own playlists. Like. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of my friends that'll give me their playlists. Like, Tony gave me one of his playlists the other day. I was like, God damn, this is fucking legit. Like, a bunch of cool shit that I never heard before.
Yeah. Oh, I make playlists all the time. That's one of my favorite things to do, is like a hobby, is to make playlists for people.
Oh.
I love it. Like, if they tell me, like, oh, I'm like, I'd like want to know more songs that sound like this, I'll be like, gotcha. I'll make you a playlist and send it to you. I love doing stuff like that for people. Yeah.
I only have one playlist, but it's like 39 hours long.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, how much do you really need? Yeah.
It's ridiculous, though, to try to find songs in it. I have to use the search bar.
Yeah.
I can never just scroll down. There's too many of them.
I have probably 40 playlists that I've made. Yeah, because I do them by like decades, and then I'll do genres within decades.
Man, you're fucking super specific.
Well, I'm just like slightly autistic.
Not even slightly.
Oh, gotta be. 55, 56, like enough to where I can like, you know, I can function.
Do you smell math?
No, see, when it comes to that, I don't have any of that autism. I just have the weird, like, I can't handle too many sounds autism.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no, I can't handle a lot of stimulus, and then I make playlists or do jigsaw puzzles.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or read 24/7 and look up random... You know, bullshit.
That's the superpower of it, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm glad I have, you know, I don't know if I'm really autistic, but if I am, I'm glad I have it.
Are you self-diagnosed?
That. Of course.
Oh, there you go.
I'm self-diagnosed, right?
But you are a doctor, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, as much as, you know.
I'm guilty as charged. I self-diagnosed myself with ADHD.
Yeah, but you know yourself better than anybody else. So you should be able to self-diagnose.
Well, I don't
yourself.
Think necessarily ADHD is even totally real. You know, I think it's one of those things for people that just think differently and they're fucking bored as shit and they can't pay attention to stuff that sucks.
Well, and there probably is some disorder in it. But to like, because I don't think it's necessarily wrong to say that there is like a thing, but to say that it's like a disorder and that it's negative and that it needs to be treated is different. Like, I don't think ADHD necessarily needs to be treated. It just needs to be like funneled.
It's only a disorder because we have a very rigid civilization.
Exactly.
So we don't live in accordance to the way our bodies were designed. Our bodies were designed to be hunter-gatherers. That's the reality. That's the reality because it takes so long to become a hunter and gatherer, and it took like hundreds of thousands of years for us to be good at it.
Yeah.
And we've only been living in civilization for a little tiny little blink of time. So our fucking programming is all not to sit still all day, not to stare at a fucking teacher, not to be bored memorizing shit. Our old thing is like be active, do something, learn, get excited about something. So we have like an entire forgotten group of people that have so much energy and they have all these interests that are not what you're dulling them down with all day long.
Yeah.
And they could learn in a way better manner by just like participating in things and reading stuff as well. But having a teacher that actually is enthusiastic about it, where they get you excited about it, like not having to sit down all day. You're fucking 10. You want to run. Yeah. You want to play with your friends.
Right.
You want to have fun, and you just sit there. And by the end of the day, you're like, ugh, I hate school.
Yes.
Because it's fucking boring.
Yeah, school sucks. Like school ruins fucking everything. It ruins the natural love of learning that I think most humans have. It's ruined by schools. Because, well, one, you're there way longer than you should be. There's no reason a kid should be in school for 8 hours, 9 hours sometimes. Why would a 8-year-old need to be in school that long?
It's a real good question.
It doesn't make any sense. What are you teaching a 10-year-old in 8 hours? Like
that they're going to remember.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, you don't have to have recess. You don't have to have all these extra things. Like, you can shorten all this down, make it more streamlined, and have kids home. But it's just to prepare people for a 9-to-5. And so many parents, there's so many households have both parents working. So it's like, well, it is kind of nice to not have a babysitter. You just send your kid to school and, have your kid be a latchkey kid like I was.
I was too.
Yeah.
That was a normal thing back then. You know, no one thought twice about letting your kids just go outside. Like all the kids in the neighborhood, we all grew up like that. We all would just go over each other's houses. We'd just come home from school, nobody's home, you had a key, you know?
Yeah. I would just come in and started like playing guitar or something. I mean, I didn't go around with the neighborhood. It was a lot of meth labs, a lot of fully functioning.
You lived near meth labs when you were a kid?
Yeah.
No shit, dude.
Fully functioning. Like,
where'd you live?
Well, East Texas, which
don't, is. Don't rat anybody out.
Don't
need
the address. Yeah.
Some meth head right now is like, the motherfucker. I remember him. We're going to fucking find him.
Yeah. Well, they've actually all kind of blown themselves up since then.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, it's a. Yeah, nature really has a way of taking care of itself, you know.
That is such a crazy decision to make. I'm going to cook meth in a trailer.
Yeah, one blew up, like the one next to my house blew up not that long ago. Like, I was just asleep, thought I heard a shotgun and looked, and there's just fire. And I was like, what is this? And I was like,
I'm imagining a slow-mo of the trailer blowing up with that Oliver Anthony song playing in the background.
you wouldn't be far off.
Boom!
Yeah. It's pretty close. But
meth labs are known. They are known to go up badly.
It was not a neighborhood that you go like ride bikes around and like play and shit like that.
But because you're cooking meth and you're on meth. Even if you're not on meth, you're in contact with it all the time. So you're probably getting at least a skin high.
Well, and they're not using like, high grade equipment. I mean, they're wearing like, some like cheap gloves, maybe. I mean, most of it's barehanded, They're like old school hat makers, They would get mercury poisoning and go crazy.
What's really crazy is that we look at that and we say, that is so nuts that people take meth. Why would you do that? And yet, what percentage of kids today are on Adderall?
Which is the exact same thing, just a slow release, a delayed release meth.
What percentage, if you had a guess?
I mean, it's probably lower than we think, because in my head, I think it's like 40%, but it's probably about 15. If I'm really guessing, like trying to win some money.
God, that's a lot.
That's still a lot. That's still so many kids.
That's crazy. More than 1 out of 10. And that's so crazy. That's just the idea of that. It's so nuts.
Yeah.
They're all on meth.
Yeah.
And that's an ADHD thing, right? They give it to you when you have ADHD.
Yeah, Ritalin.
ADHD medication. When I was a kid, I would have taken my clothes off and ran through the woods. I'd be like, ah!
Well, what's crazy is it just turns kids into a zombie.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Like, I used to work in a pharmacy for a long time, and just seeing, like, how many parents are coming in there giving their kid, and their kid's just like zonked out. They look like they're in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, they're just like, oh, here's my kid, this like high level amount of, Ritalin or whatever, Vyvanse, you know, Adderall. Like, it is wild. Like,
yeah, it's spooky.
It was a party drug.
It's spooky that you can get a doctor to tell you that's cool, too. As long as the doctor tells you it's okay. Yeah, he needs that. Oh, great. Well, look, we got medication for him. We're going to be fine. Little Billy's going to be fine. Because you come home from school, from work, rather, your feet hurt. You fucking sit down, you take your shoes off. The kid's fucking sword fighting with his brother in the middle of the living room. Like, hey, you got to stop. You got to listen to me. Hey, you little fucker. Yeah. And you're so tired, your ankle hurts. You know, you can't get up. Yeah. You're like, medicate this little motherfucker. Yeah. Medicate him.
Yes. Yeah, because it's easy to do, and and you have a doctor telling you it's okay, so that immediately gives you some like reassurance that like, well, why would a medical professional tell me this is okay?
He's a medical professional, and he gives me my medication, which allows me to get through my day as well.
Exactly. Oh, I mean,
that's that great Rolling Stones song. Remember that? Mother's Little Helper.
Yeah, 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 mother. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Great fucking song. Yeah. Great. I mean,
that's... running for the shelter.
Think that was the Valium days, right? Was that what it was?
Well,
it,
I mean, I don't know if they didn't necessarily call it that, but there was like Speed and Valium.
Right.
Or Speed, like an upper and a downer. And you know, you take the upper to get all your chores done as a housewife, and then you take the downer so you didn't kill your kids.
They prescribed those to people like candy.
Yeah.
Forever.
Well,
and
I think
then they figured out that Valium was like super addictive, right?
Yeah, I think they legitimately didn't know back then.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Any excuse after that, you're out of your mind. Like the OxyContin bullshit, you know, with all that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. They knew about OxyContin being. They knew that was essentially heroin. I mean, that's one of the great moments in that Peter Berg docuseries on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where the docudrama series, where the guy is breaking it down to him. The doctor's breaking it down to him. Like, when the hot girl comes in, she's pitching that stuff, and he's like, "You're selling heroin." Like,
yeah.
You need this is exactly the same thing as heroin. You're telling my I should put my patients on heroin. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, the lone ethical doctor in you know, fucking shitty little house that he lives in. You know, he's like,
because he doesn't make the big money. Because
he doesn't make the big money because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Which is, like, unfortunately, not unrealistic. Like,
that's how it is.
Yeah.
Because if you prescribe it, they give you, you know, a $500 gift card to, you know, a steakhouse. They'll, you know, they'll buy you a new car.
Well, all that stuff's nuts. You know, like with a certain amount of vaccines, if 60% of your patients or more are vaccinated, you get a larger incentive. So you're like pushing it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is nuts. It's nuts that that's legal.
Yeah. Incentivizing anything
medical.
Medical is, I mean, why are you doing that? Like,
dude, there was a guy that got arrested. I forget how many patients it was, but he was an oncologist and he was giving people chemotherapy that didn't have cancer. Because chemotherapy is very profitable. So this piece of shit was telling people that they had cancer and then giving them fucking chemotherapy.
That's that.
Just for money.
That sucks. There's a special place.
And it was
in
like a bunch of people. And I think he had some insane excuse when they asked. You know that you eat what you kill? You know that philosophy that they kind of have in medical school? Like you have to do surgeries because that's how you get your money.
Yep.
Like, I thought you were fixing folks. I didn't think this is all about you making money. That's crazy. And that the fact that they incentivize you to do that. So a pharmaceutical drug company can incentivize you to push their stuff.
Right.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, to push their medicine over another medicine, even though their medicine might have worse side effects or maybe not even be the exact right one.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I'm on a couple pharmaceuticals.
And, what are you on?
Effexor. And I took a Klonopin about 2 hours ago. So, very small dose. It actually did absolutely nothing. So
maybe it kicks in 5.
We'll find out. Yeah, I'm laid out.
What is Effexor? Is that an SSRI?
Yeah, it's an SSRI. But
and when did you start getting on that stuff?
Oh, I started taking those probably 2013.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've never noticed a difference. I just keep taking them because
that's
interesting. At some point, it's going to work.
And what?
Then I built. I mean, well, you never know. Sometimes there's like a delay in the effectiveness. So,
have you ever gone off them just to see like what it feels like?
Yeah, because I started. Well, whenever I started drinking a lot, I was like, it said you're not supposed to do both. So I was like, I'll just take the alcohol.
I'll take the depressant over the antidepressant.
Well, the alcohol worked for sure.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Well, that night it worked real well, and then the next day it's like, you know,
that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, if my ceiling was stronger, I'd have a noose hanging up there. But yeah.
Well, you know, it's like someone's got to design a better alcohol. Someone's got to design something that, first of all, doesn't massively fuck up your motor functions, you know, which is the most dangerous part of alcohol. It's like your body's not functioning right.
I want that to happen. I like that. Yeah. I like the whole feeling. Yeah.
You like just stumbling.
Yeah.
Being hammered.
Yeah. I like waking up and being like, why is my knee bleeding? Like, that's a great feeling. Yeah.
This is definitely fun to be had. But it's just like you're agreeing, just like you're agreeing when you're smoking cigarettes. Mm. Like I am, I'm giving up some health here for this experience.
There's like a quote. I mean, I don't know whose it is. It's definitely not mine. But like getting drunk is you're just buying happiness from tomorrow.
Ooh,
it's a great quote. I mean, it makes sense. It is great because that is what you're doing. You're getting twice as happy, but tomorrow, you're gonna have zero happiness.
Yeah,
and I was buying like weeks ahead.
Some people just keep that, like Bert Kreischer, he just keeps that party rolling. He never stops.
Well, he just knocked out a 5K. Good for him. I got invited to go do that, and I couldn't turn that down fast enough. I was no, I'm not going to go run a 5K unless someone's chasing me.
Bro, Jelly Roll has lost something insane. I think he's down 140 pounds.
I thought it was even more than that, but maybe.
Is it more than that?
I think it's an insane amount.
He looks so good. He looks different. Like a different person.
It is wild. That's a lot. I mean, yeah. See, 180 is what I thought I had heard. Wow. So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Dude, I mean,
that's unbelievable.
That's an adult human.
See if there's a video I think that's on Bert Kreischer's Instagram of Bert with him on stage, and Bert is bigger than Jelly Roll. No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, well,
but. He's right next to him, and Jelly Roll is almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so much thinner. He looks great, and he's committed.
Yeah.
He's, like, fucking all in on this, all in on being healthy.
I got to do it.
He ran a 5K. Look at that.
Yeah, there it was, yeah. Boy.
Look at Bert. Bert's bigger than him. Look, I'm not lying.
No, you're really not. Yeah, that's...
Jelly Roll looks like a totally different human being.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. Yeah.
He looks great.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's extraordinary. Extraordinary that he's been able to do that.
Yeah. In how long? I mean, it hasn't been that long.
I mean,
I don't think.
I think.
Yeah, that's.
His weight loss, he wanted to lose 100 pounds, it says, his first goal. Okay, so he passed that goal in 2024. Okay, so he'd already lost 100 pounds by 2024.
Okay.
So here we are in May of 2025. Next year, he says half marathon. Wow.
Whoa. I mean, he could. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, if he did 5K, he can do it.
5K is what, 3.5 miles?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So half marathon's 13.1? Or 13, I guess?
His weight goal is to be under 250 pounds.
Well, he'll definitely be there.
Said to do all the fun stuff in life, you got to be under 250.
That's a...
Skydiving, ride a roller coaster, riding a bull, and wrestling an alligator. Oh, don't do a lot of those things.
I'll tell you what, you know, the wrestling an alligator thing, I can tell you from first-hand experience, you can be any weight and wrestle a fucking alligator.
Really?
Why not? I mean, I feel like the bigger
you are... If you're going to die, you're going to die.
Well, I figure the bigger you are, the better at wrestling you are. For an alligator.
You
don't want to be 120 pounds and jump on the back of an alligator.
That's true, but you don't even want to be 300 pounds and jump on the back of an alligator because they roll. Like, their whole thing is rolling.
But they wouldn't be able to roll quite as much. If I'm on the back of an alligator, that thing is not budging.
Boy, I think you're wrong.
That could be
true. I think you're really wrong.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I'm really sure you're wrong.
I would like to test it.
I don't want you to. Well, you seem like a nice guy. Wow. I've seen so many videos. Especially crocs, when dudes like put their arm in a croc and the croc's like, not today.
Yeah. Well, see, crocodile's different. Crocodile's very vicious. An alligator's basically just a giant turtle. I mean, you could just smack that thing around. It's not going to do anything to you.
Yeah, they eat people. They'll get you. They still
like
eat
kids.
People.
I'm not a toddler.
No, they'll eat a grown adult if they get a hold of you. They'll take you and drag you under a log. It's just they're not as aggressive as crocs. Crocs actively target people, whereas alligators are like, if you fuck up, like, there's a fun story.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was in a police chase in Florida. Cops are chasing him, gets to a bridge, jumps out of the car into the water, lands on an alligator, and just gets mauled right in front of the cops. He gets killed by an alligator right in front of a biggin', too. It was like a big, like, again. like the book coming out today. Like sometimes the universe is there with a 13-footer. Like
that's
right when
wild.
You dive in, you no! Clamp! Grabs a hold of your head, starts rolling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever been close to one?
Fuck yeah.
I've snuck up on, accidentally snuck up on one once. And it's kind of terrifying hearing the I can't make the sound, but that that sound they make.
Bro, they're dinosaurs.
Ooh, yeah.
They're heartless, soulless eating machines.
Yeah, I was going to take a piss by a tree and just heard that sound. I was like, and it was nighttime, so I'm like, oh, I don't like that just happened.
That's not good.
And look around, there's one, not like super close, but close enough to get a good look and be like, oh.
When I was a kid, I lived in Florida from age 11 to 13.
Yeah, yeah.
We lived in Gainesville, which is right by this place called Lake Alice.
Uh-huh.
And Lake Alice had all kinds of alligators.
Right.
And people would go there and feed them marshmallows, chuck marshmallows in the water. And then they told you, hey, stop doing that. It's bad for the alligators. But alligators were like a protected species back then.
I'd have been dressing up like an alligator so quick. Getting the water free marshmallows. Man.
But it was so weird.
That's wild.
To be like, I lived in San Francisco before that, so you see nothing. And then all of a sudden, dinosaurs, like legit dinosaurs. Why? And I remember being a little kid thinking, why is everybody so goddamn comfortable being around these huge fucking lizards?
It is crazy when you go to Florida, because I'm pretty close to Caddo Lake, which I don't know if you're familiar with Caddo Lake, but it's like the largest natural lake in Texas. It looks like you went back in time 5 million years, 60 million years. Like, it's the scariest looking place on the planet. And it's just filled with alligators. So we would go there as a kid all the time. And, you'd see alligators. And you're just like, but nobody cares. Like, people are just, like, out barbecuing, like, grilling up against the lake. And, obviously the meat being around, like, these alligators just come up. Just don't care. They're just like, all right. Like,
that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy that people just tolerate dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just, they don't do anything to people. Like, unprovoked, really. Like, as far as I know, I mean.
Well, they can. They certainly can.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're just, like, they're so overpopulated now.
They're
all over Florida. They say essentially any body of water in Florida that's still, there's a potential for an alligator being inside of it. Because they just travel
Good
at
Lord.
Night and go into a new lake and sit there and wait. They can hold their breath for hours.
God. I would like to get
They don't have to
them.
Eat for a year. Like, what? Yeah. Like, what? What are we doing?
Jesus.
Like, oh, my God.
That's from Caddo Lake. Oh, that is. Yeah. Yep.
What? Have you ever heard of alligator gars?
Yeah, we have them. So, like, my family, a lot of them live in Gonzales. I don't know if you're familiar with that is, but by San Antonio. And they go, like, bow fishing for gars. And we used to go fishing for gars, like, in a spillway. Just fish for these bastards. You can't eat them.
Apparently, you can smoke them. That's what I heard.
We would just pull them up and then smash their head with a rock.
Rude.
Yeah, what am I supposed to be?
My point was some guy just caught a world record in Texas.
Really?
I think it was out in Lakeway. I forget where it was, but it was 7 feet long. See if you could find it. He caught it on like 2-pound test or something crazy. No, man, that was a lake trout. Different story.
There's got to be bigger ones than that. Than 7 feet. I wonder if it was. Jesus.
Look at the size of that thing, man. That's so crazy.
That is.
Houston Chronicle. So look at the size of that thing. Oh my God. That's so big. 212-pound alligator gar.
16 pound
and those things, man, look like they're from a different era. Those things look like they're not supposed to exist. Like, that is a goddamn prehistoric creature. Pull up some photos, Jamie, of alligator gars.
They also don't attack people.
No, they don't.
Like, very kind of skittish.
But
what you think? What
my kids found out that they're in lakes now, and they're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I don't blame them.
You don't like take a chance with those things? Look at their face. Like, look at that photo. Look at that face, man. That looks like something from a book on dinosaurs. Right?
Yeah, it's like a sturgeon, like this huge-ass sturgeon
in
Alaska where you're like, oh.
From a different time.
Yeah.
Like, a sturgeon looks like it doesn't belong in this time. Look at that thing, man.
That, I don't like that at all.
But even the eyes, it just looks primitive, like a shit early design, like a 1955 Ford. You know what I mean? It's like, what were you doing back then? Like, that's a shit design.
Well, it's an Edsel.
That stupid eyeball at the end of the mouth, it looks dumb. Right? Make that picture bigger, the one that's you got that's big right now. Look at
how
fucking crazy that is.
God, I mean, it's so crazy.
Look at that thing, man.
You've never gone.
Oh, they only give you a small version. Isn't that weird?
What a weird. Even
that's
if you
weird.
Open it.
Oh, there it is. That's so strange. The thing. Wow. But look how bad that design is. That's like, you know what it's like? It's like, you ever see like a Dodge Charger, like a 69 Charger, a badass looking car.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, why is it so long and goofy? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like
old time. They hadn't figured out proportions yet. Looks weird.
Yeah.
That thing looks weird. It doesn't look modern. It looks like it's from a different time.
It's definitely not mine.
Like, why does it have a nose?
Probably slammed into things.
Oh, that like is a hole. Like no, a that's hole like a real nose. Nostril.
Doesn't they
on
breathe
that thing?
Somewhere another way? Unless they can breathe above.
Is that a nostril?
I've never asked.
It does look like.
See if there's other ones that show that same thing. That's crazy. If that's a nostril, that could just be a hole in its nose.
It could, but I think
unless they're like
no.
Oh, that God, looks to have, it does look like a they nostril.
They all have a little nostril.
Find out if can alligator gars breathe air. Because there are some fish that gulp air. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, where they go up
and they actually can gulp air if there's no oxygen in the water.
I mean, these things all look like they're going they have nostrils.
Whoa, they have nostrils. But swim their primary line, respiratory right. organ is a swim bladder, which can be used to breathe in air when needed, especially in low oxygen environments. Wow.
But they do breathe using gills at the top.
Yeah, they, so like they have gills fish. And nostrils. That's nuts.
Like it says, like most fish have nostrils. I didn't know that.
Most fish have nostrils.
Whoa. However, they have a unique adaptation, a swim bladder connected to their mouth.
Ew.
Whoa. And the swim bladder functions as a lung, allowing them to breathe air.
Jesus.
See, that's why they're still around. When did these motherfuckers first start being around? Like, how long have they been on Earth for?
I'm going to guess.
Millions.
I would, right? Yeah, for millions. 100%.
That seems like a many million-year-old fish.
I would guess, like, 100. Oh, there it is.
100 million years
in the Cretaceous.
So that's pre-dinosaur death. Because that's 65 million.
So yeah, we're
so they were around long before that.
Yeah, they overlapped for 35 million years.
Isn't that nuts? That's essentially a prehistoric creature that you can go shoot with a bow.
Yeah, or like me, smash his head in with your rock while your uncle's drunk. Like,
kind of crazy that's it's an activity that people do. Yeah. But I do hear that you can smoke them and then they taste good.
I'll leave that up to
you. Won't even try it? Like if someone's really good and they cook for you? And they're like, I'd try it.
I'd pretty much try anything. So yeah, I'd try. I've eaten worse things.
I had beaver once.
I bet you, yeah. Well, really? Why was it? Me too, one day, I hope.
Me and my friend Brian Callen and Steve Ranella. It was on his television show, Meat Eater, and they trapped a beaver, and he cooked it. He made like a pot roast. It was fucking delicious. It was really good.
I'd try it.
But Steve's like an excellent cook.
So he really,
like he has cookbooks. Like excellent cook. So he really knows how to make something.
He cooks on the
delicious.
Show.
Delicious. Yeah, all the time.
That's I'd try it. I mean, there's not really any. I'd eat a dog. I'd try.
I can't eat a dog. Like I couldn't eat a person. Like I could eat a person if I had to eat a person.
I don't think it would take all that much.
I think historically you've been proven to be correct.
Yeah.
You know, you want some coffee? Do you drink coffee?
No, I'm good.
Historically, when push comes to shove, people will eat people.
Yeah, I mean, what was the name? General Butt Naked? You ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was eating people. I mean, that's how he busted that guy at that market, you know, that was serving human meat.
That guy killed and ate people, and then he was forgiven because he found Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he became a pastor.
Oh, amazing.
Bro, he would take off all his clothes and go into battle and kill people while he's butt naked.
With a machete.
With a machete.
Yeah.
He would find children, kill them, cut their heart out, and eat it so that he would become invincible. Eat the heart of his enemy's children.
It worked. He's still alive.
Yeah, he'd be on something. That's the thing. Like, you can dismiss it all you want.
Yeah, but the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
The devil has very specific rules if you want the superpower. From monster to minister, is the past about to catch up to Liberia's war criminals? So that's the thing is Liberia, okay? Do you know the history of Liberia?
Yeah, with James Monroe and Monrovia. I mean, well, I know, like, that it was a colony basically to send African, like...
Slaves
back to Africa.
Exactly.
And that's why the capital is Monrovia. It's named after James Monroe.
It is an insane place.
Yeah.
And in the weeks before he found Jesus, the evangelist, formerly known as General Butt Naked, reckons he was sacrificing 4 or 5 children a day.
Oh, my God.
Murder had long come naturally to him. He was only 11 when the elders who had steeped him in the ways of witchcraft first handed him the sacrificial knife. But he never killed with such intensity and ferocity as during those weeks in mid-1996 when Liberia's first civil war reached its calamitous climax on the blood-soaked streets of Monrovia, the country's battered capital. Several times a day, the warlord and his battalion of boys, all naked as he was, would emerge into the maelstrom, firing wildly as they added their own breed of terror to the chaos. Wow. Yet the bloodletting always began before a single bullet had been fired, before each engagement. Butt naked, pagan priest and holy warrior would lay a child face down on the sacrificial table, slice open its victim's back, and pull out their still beating heart, thus ensuring magical protection for the coming battle. Yikes. Fucking yo.
It's not really like a nice thing to do to someone.
I mean, fucking
yeah,
yo.
that's insane. I don't care if
he found Jesus, but he found Jesus. That's... Hold on, he found Jesus.
Is that actually why he got let off, or
more
did
than
he
20
get
years
off
later? General Butt Naked, Nom de Guerre, Evangelist Joshua Milton Blahi no longer cares to use, has never appeared in court for the war crimes he so freely admits to. Neither, for that matter, has anyone else, not in Liberia at least. That's pretty crazy.
So they didn't even try. It's not like he got off. They just didn't even try.
That's how bad that place is.
Yeah, because he was under, what's that guy's name, Charles Taylor. Charles Taylor was an absolute nut job as well. Have you ever seen Machine Gun Preacher with Gerard Butler?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you got to watch that movie.
Yeah?
So good.
Machine Gun Preacher.
Yeah, sounds like
it. When is this one? When does this one come out?
Maybe 2014, 2015 or so. So decently old. 2011, okay. Mm. Yeah. But it's based on a true story of a guy who, you know, had like some alcohol, like drug issues, I believe. And here it is.
Machine Gun Preacher.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, it's a.
Check that out, Jamie. Yeah. Will you do me a favor, send me a note?
Yeah, he went to Africa. Like this guy, yeah, went to Africa and started like building these, like, you know, kind of, I guess not orphanages, but like schools basically. And then obviously, you know, the warlords would come in and burn these schools down because they don't want them being built, and try to take the money that's being donated. So he started like going over there. Like he was at one point just kind of, you know, getting money and sending it there. And then he was like, "Wow, well, I'll actually go over there with weapons and I'll protect these schools." And it's basically what he did. Wow. And it's a pretty crazy story. The movie, yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, man, there are parts of the world that are just fucking bananas.
Yeah.
Which is really great about the early days of Vice.
Oh, did yeah. You,
the early days of Vice, man, they would go and interview like General Butt Naked. Like,
yeah, that's where I heard about him. Yeah. It was a Vice documentary. Yeah. It was the Cannibal Warlords of Liberia. It was the documentary.
They would go everywhere, all the crazy places. They would go to all parts of the world.
Yeah. It's, you know? Amazing. Like, just how crazy people are.
People that don't visit those places of the world, they don't see, like, the look in the eyes of people that have been to all those dangerous parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my friend Shane Smith from Vice.
Yeah.
He's got this, when he starts talking about these places that he's been, especially the early days, like, there's like, he has an understanding of the dangers of the outside world that I think us in this little gated community we call the United States, we're very, very ignorant about how fucking sideways things have gone in other parts of the world right now. While you're enjoying Netflix, cuddling up with your sweetheart, eating popcorn, there's parts of the world right now where someone's cutting out a child's heart to eat it before they go to battle. Like, maybe not in the same timeline, but close enough.
It's not, I mean, who knows, just because he's happening? Not doing it doesn't mean somebody else
who knows
else
what's
isn't?
Happening right now in certain war-torn parts of the world.
Yeah.
And we just think, well, you know, what we really need is equity. Like, we didn't worry about the climate. The climate change should be our number one priority. Like, actually, you need to stay safe.
Yeah.
You need to fucking stay safe, and you need to understand there's a bunch of spots that aren't safe.
Yeah. Well, and also, climate change, sure, worry about it, but like, that kid's going to get his heart ripped out in the next 15 minutes. Yeah. Let's go ahead and like worry about him, maybe.
That's probably number one.
And then, let's go ahead and worry about him for a little bit. Then we'll go to climate after that.
People who are good people don't want to believe that there's bad people in the world. And I understand that reluctance. I understand, like, you have this perspective. And in your world that you've cultivated, you probably are safe because you've cultivated this world of a bunch of people that share the worldview of you. But when you enter into other people's spaces and you are ignorant to their culture and how crazy where, like I read about this couple. He's decided that they're going to prove that people are just good people everywhere, and they went and hung out with ISIS and they killed them. Did you read about that one, Jamie? Do you know that story?
That is incredible.
I was like, you need better friends. You need better friends. You need better friends that show you some videos, you know, that show you, like, this is what's going on in this part of the world. Yep. Like, you have to understand, like, it is, you need to talk to someone who's maybe surfing in Afghanistan. Right. Like, you need to understand what's going on over there.
The problem is those people would never listen to that. They'd be like, well, you just saw the bad side of ISIS. Like, you got ISIS on a bad day. It was like,
I have a lighter that my friend Chris Williamson gave me that is from my comedy club that went to Antarctica because they took a group of people to show them that the world isn't flat. They show them the sun actually at the certain, it does go around like that. And you can watch it the whole time. They're like, fuck. And like, these people shoot. Completely recalibrate.
Like that guy that tried to launch himself up in the sky to prove it, and he died.
Yeah, that guy, he needed better friends. All these people just need better friends. Like, you need people around you. Like, hey. Don't do that.
Yeah. And just or to reassure them, just tell them, it's flat. Don't worry. Like, it is flat. You don't got to worry
imagine
about
it. Imagine if it was. But, like, imagine if all those morons were right, and then everybody, all these scientists, all these satellites, all lies.
All in all cahoots. CGI. They've all been in cahoots for this whole time. They even, was it Socrates or Aristotle? I think Aristotle that mapped it out back in 3,000 years ago.
This is my take on it. I firmly believe that at one point in time, there was a bunch of people that were uninformed that thought the world was flat way back in the day.
Yeah.
Then they figured it out with experiments. And then you look at all the other bodies in the solar system. Mm-hmm. Everything else is round. Kind of makes sense. You realize that this is how planets are formed, gravity and spins and the whole deal. But then I think they're psyops. And I think a bunch of people went on there, just like they did with women with the free bleeding movement on 4chan. They convinced women to just fucking bleed all over their crotch. They convinced them. And they did it by making it seem like a feminist thing. Like, fuck the patriarchy. I don't have to wear a fucking tampon. I'm going to wear white pants. Fuck you. Look at my blood. You know, and then women actually went and did it. Because people will buy into almost anything. Mm-hmm. There's a certain percentage of the population, whatever it is, that's so easily – they're so suggestible. They're so easily influenced.
Yeah.
You can kind of talk them into almost anything. And I think that's part of where the flat earth thing got sidewaysed. Because I think just like MK Ultra used to exist, I think there's still some let's find out how dumb they are experiments. Yes.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's also just a lot of real dumb people. There's also just some people who like – they also want to like think that everything's a cover-up. I don't trust NASA. Like, why would I trust NASA? It's like, I don't know. Why not? Like we didn't go to the moon, so the Earth must be flat. I guess if those two things are related, I don't know. I mean,
there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people that don't want to actually do research. They want to watch a YouTube video and then start talking about it. That's me. That's my favorite thing.
I'm with it. Yeah, I'm with you, too. Yeah, I like a good deep dive, but sometimes just give me the damn bullet notes.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm just fucking around and I'm not really serious about whether or not I care if it's real. I'm more interested to know about these emerald tablets. Like, where are they? Who's got them? What do they say? Like, I don't want to know if it's a hoax, but I'm only fucking around. I'm not like completely invested in it. But when you start making videos about how you're correct and the world is flat and everybody else is wrong, like, no. You're annoying. This is silly. Right. Like, you're just not seeing things correctly.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of lies. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies. It doesn't mean all of it. Okay? It doesn't mean the stars are actually lights in the sky.
Yeah.
You know, a more interesting possibility is that it only exists when consciousness engages with it. And then that's the real simulation theory. That's the real weirdness. That's when things get like Tom Campbell, you know, the My Big Toe, the theory of everything. That's when things get really weird.
Yeah.
When instead of consciousness is like a part of the creation of reality itself, that it's all integrated.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about any of that stuff.
He weirds me out.
Yeah, I don't like the space. I leave that alone. I don't know. Space, because also like what happened before, and then what happened before that.
Because there's an environment before the Big Bang.
Yeah,
I think they call it the environment. Isn't that what it's called?
Christ.
Yeah, what did they call it? Brian Cox was explaining it to us. I was like, what?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, then all theoretical, of course.
Well, yeah, yeah. Which is the problem, because then, like, sometimes it's just, I don't know. Like, I couldn't have that be, which, you know, great for, like, those people. I could not have that be my life, is coming up with these theorems and, like, studying them, because you're never going to get an answer.
But it doesn't have to be answer. You. I'm glad it's not you.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah, for sure.
You
know, I know.
I'm glad you do what you do.
Well, yeah,
do
yeah. It's like, exactly. No, I'm glad that they do it. I'm just saying, like, for me, it would drive me.
Right.
Absolutely. Because I can't, I have to, like, know an answer.
Right.
I can't, I hate, like, hypotheticals and, like.
Like string theory.
Oh, I hate it. That could piss off. I don't need to know any about that.
That one's weird.
Yeah, any of that stuff. I like. This happened on this day. This is who was involved. This right. is what happened.
Right.
Like, hard, right. that kind of stuff.
Well, space is the ultimate who the fuck knows, because yeah. we can only see so far. We see so far. But even yes. so far is only so far.
Well, and then they're saying, like, it's always expanding, which mm-hmm. that can't be true, because, like, what is it expanding into? If space is space, you yeah, know, if they're, if right. they're like, oh, it's like blowing up a balloon where everything's, mm-hmm. Okay, but you're blowing up a balloon in a room.
Right.
So what's the room? That you're blowing the balloon right. into. And then that's in a bigger room. And then that's in
right.
this.
And then there's the Jesus. Concept that it's actually finite. It's not infinite. And it's some sort of donut shape. It like goes back around eventually.
But then who made all that?
Right.
Like, is there a God? Did God make this?
Or is God the universe?
Yeah, but then who made God? And then that bothers me.
Right. But
like, who made that thing?
Is that a thing that we think that, like, because we were born and we die, that we have these biological limitations that we attach to the universe itself?
That's very, yeah, that's fair. That, right. that, yeah, that we see things as being built and destroyed.
That there's always been something. And, well, wouldn't it be crazy if there wasn't something at one point in time? Yeah. That seems even crazier than there
right.
always has been something. Because if it's just something, if it's just the nature of everything, there is always something. Right?
Right.
It couldn't be nothing, and then no. all of a sudden, everything. That right. seems...
Because what started that? What kicked that off?
Exactly.
What snapped its fingers? Like,
that's
know.
McKenna's great line. Terrence McKenna had a great line mm-hmm. about the difference between science and religion. Is that science only asks you for one miracle? I want you to believe in one miracle, the Big Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
It's
yeah.
a great line. Yeah. It's because it really is true. Yes. And it's funny because people would be incredulous about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but yet they're convinced that the entire universe was smaller than the head of a pin, and for right. no reason than anybody's adequately explained to me. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, no.
Instantaneously yeah. became yes. everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I can't buy that.
I'm sticking with Jesus yeah. on that one. Like,
yeah.
Jesus makes more sense.
It makes a hell of a lot more sense.
People have come back to life. Like, in fact, you were one of your videos was about a woman who was hung.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell that yeah. one.
Was it Nancy Green or Ann Green? I think Ann Green. Yeah, she was, she had basically a miscarriage. And, you know, at the time it was basically like, oh, you're a witch. We're going to kill you because your baby's not. It didn't live. So she just buried the thing, acted like nothing happened. They tried her, convicted her.
So she had a miscarriage, buried the child, and they caught her.
Yeah, they caught her thinking that she had killed the kid.
Right.
Like, why would you be just burying your baby? Like, they weren't really thinking that, oh, yeah, she had a miscarriage. Hung her. I mean, as far as they know, she's dead. Put her in a box, wooden box, take her to a mortuary, and the guy's, you know, getting her ready to prep her to bury her, and she wakes back up. After they start doing, like, they feel like a faint pulse, and they're like, oh my God, this woman's still alive, but she's not, like, coherent and alert, so they start giving her, like, a tobacco smoke enemas, which, oh, it gotta
Whose
be a great time.
Whose idea? How do you go to that one first?
Well, I don't know, I think,
I got an idea,
I mean,
bro.
Slapping the hell out of her probably was the first
option. I got a tube and a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, pouring hot, yeah, they poured this, which I don't know, a cordial? I think it's just some sort of, like, liquid.
Any,
but
is that what just liquid?
Yeah, I don't know what
invigorating or stimulating preparation that's intended for medicinal purpose. Yeah, the term derives from obsolete usage.
It's basically Robitussin.
Yeah, some sort of alcohol, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
hoarded
like
or
some
hot
Buffalo Trace. Let's go, lady. Rubbing her limbs and extremities, bloodletting.
Yeah, always a good option.
A poultice.
Oh, I didn't know about the poultice.
What is that?
That's soft moist mass.
A moist mass.
So like a basically putting like a hot, you know,
soft materials like cereals.
Okay.
Cereal.
I don't know.
So they put oatmeal on
soft materials like cereals used as a base.
So they put oatmeal on her tits.
They put a big bowl of oatmeal on her tits.
Yeah.
Tobacco. They're just experimenting this lady. The tobacco smoke enema to me is the wildest one. Like you went up her asshole with a cigar. Is that what you did? You weirdo?
Yeah, like a backdoor Clinton.
That's a guy that wanted to smoke a cigarette in the operating room. It's like, I know.
Blow some smoke up your ass.
Yeah. That might be
what it is. Oh my God, that's literally it.
Yeah. You blowing smoke up my ass?
Blowing smoke up your ass is supposed to be deceiving you.
Well, that's probably, they probably found out it was some bullshit.
Right.
Are you still trying to do that shit?
He's just an ass freak. That happened because a lot of morticians have been freaks. Like that's one that famous Sam Kinison bit.
Yeah.
It was one of the greatest bits of all time.
She started talking after 12 hours.
Yeah.
Started eating food.
That's nuts.
1 month before I recovered.
She came back from the dead. You telling me Jesus can't?
Well, Jesus, it was after 3 days. I feel like after 3 days, you're already
people
stinking.
Were tougher back then, bro.
Well, that's true. 2,000 years ago, people were...
They were tougher.
They had some gumption to them.
Well, they're probably also 2,000 years less evolved, so they're probably stronger.
Stronger?
Yeah, like more robust.
Oh.
They were able to survive. If you survived 2,000 years ago, I just would imagine, like, you're going through some tough times.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't have, like... There's no bad genes back then. Nobody makes it.
Yeah, and Jesus went through some stuff by the time he hit 33.
I just think human beings probably, we're probably dealing with a very robust gene pool. The people that did live, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you go back earlier and earlier. Like, you go way back.
Yeah, because they were basically doing, like, survival of the fittest. I mean, that was life, you know? Mm-hmm. If you have a kid who comes out all gimpy, you just throw that fucker off
dead.
A cliff.
Yeah, they're dead. You sacrifice them. You do it. Yeah. They can't be held down.
Right.
You know, I was watching this YouTube clip yesterday on Cro-Magnon, man. Like the early Homo sapiens who killed off a lot of the Neanderthals, like the battles with the like there were just these massive fucking Icelandic type dudes that lived back then. Like you had to be tough to survive thousands of years ago.
Especially if you lived in the north like that.
Oh God.
Like can you imagine being a Viking, just living in like Iceland, Greenland?
Yeah, your house is made out of sticks and there's polar bears outside.
God.
Fuck.
And it just sucks.
Fuck.
Like, there's nothing to do.
Fuck.
I wouldn't like that one bit. I'm real glad I live right now. I would have liked to have lived a couple like decades back. I think I think I'd be more comfortable, like in the 70s or 80s.
I think you're perfect right here, dude.
Yeah,
you
probably.
Get more research information now.
That's true. It'd
be harder to do your job back then. And everybody
job
think
wouldn't
you're
exist.
Bullshitting.
Like, well, everybody already does.
This Cody Tucker's full of shit, man. It's making stuff up about the past.
That's what most people already think I'm doing anyways, which is fine. I mean,
well, how do you research it? Like, how do you find crazy facts?
I just, well, one, just read, like, books constantly. So, like, I'll say, like, Napoleon. I'll be like, all right, let me find a book on Napoleon, read about Napoleon. And I'm mostly just skimming through, looking to, like, find something that seems interesting. Or and then I'll just Google, like, interesting shit about Napoleon and then read through it. Half of it's not true, so I got to sift through that and then put it all together into, like, kind of a story and do it that way. But, yeah, it's mostly just reading, like, articles online, like scholarly articles, I guess you'd say, just like flipping through them until I find something.
Imagine trying to piece through the truth of the 1700s. Just to imagine.
Back then?
Yeah, I mean, right now. Like, try to figure out exactly what happened.
It's, I mean, there it was some good, like, you know,
sure.
Notating
but,
what's going
like,
on. But how would you know?
I mean, barely know.
Yeah. I mean, really, you don't even have to go back. Go back to the 20s.
Right.
Like, who now is going to be like, oh, yeah, that did happen?
It's well, like, yeah. I mean, but at least we have, like, photographs and stuff. But my point was going to be now take it back a couple thousand years ago. Like, good luck.
Well, good that's why luck. So many people think some, you know, that have a hard time knowing for sure whether some people even existed. Like Achilles. Like, people, you know, still...
Right.
Believe that he necessarily existed. I mean, they didn't believe that entire war happened until, like, relatively recently.
Well, they didn't find Troy until, like, what year? Troy was supposed to be just a mythical place.
Exactly. I don't know a date. I'm thinking the 50s, if
something
I had to
like
guess.
That.
I think it was, like, kind of close. But, yeah, they just knew.
Less than 100 years ago.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, because they knew,
which is nuts.
Yeah, they just knew Homer. They just knew the Iliad, the Odyssey, and all those things, and thought it was all big tale. Because then, if you know that that war is true, like once you discover that that did happen, then it's like, so was Achilles real? So was like Agamemnon real? Like, it's like hard to know. Is Odysseus real? And then but obviously, there's things in there that aren't real. You know, Odysseus.
That's what's weird, right? It's like there's some for sure fiction. I think. But maybe not. Maybe the world was way weirder back then.
Could be. Like, maybe all those weird things got killed off. I mean,
That's the thing. It's like maybe there were like almost godlike creatures that existed that we are, you know, we want to call Zeus or Hercules or maybe this is just like years and years and years of retelling stuff. Because like Homer's take on Atlantis is one of the most fascinating. I've been obsessed with Atlantis ever since, particularly I had Jimmy Corsetti on the podcast. And have you ever seen his videos on the Reichardt, is that how you say it, Jimmy? Reichardt structure? There's this area in sub-Saharan Africa that has all of the attributes of Atlantis, including its position, where the mountains are to the north, where the river is to the south, the concentric rings. It literally is the same size as described, the concentric rings. It looks like a complete anomaly. It does not look like something that's naturally occurring. And the entire area looks like it's, when you look at it from a like an aerial satellite photo, it looks like it's blown out by water. Like immense amounts of water rush through the land. Like the whole area looked, massive water erosion. Like when you look at it from above, it looks like it just got hit with the most fucking insane flood of all time. There's literally salt. There's white all around the area where this Richard structure is, which was probably from the fucking ocean.
Right, for sure.
And it's this to this day, and also evidence of human habitation. They found pottery, they found a bunch of things, but there's it's a kind of sketchy area of the world, and I don't think there's been a lot of like real excavation done there. But it, look at it from the top. It, I recommend everybody go to Bright Insight's YouTube page and just watch some of the videos he has on it. And he's not saying it's for sure this, but he and it's not just him. It's many other people. This is the area. Show it, the image of it from space.
Jesus Christ.
Because there's, it's crazy, dude. It literally looks like how Atlantis was described with concentric circles. But crazier still is its position to the mountains, which are in the north, and the south, where the river runs through, is literally exactly as described. And if you look at the image from, but look how it all looks blown out, man. It all looks completely washed out.
That is crazy.
Watch how you go further out. Look at that. Tell me.
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It looks like the whole thing is just scarred just from massive water. Just a massive amount of water.
That's crazy. So from a, that is so
from the
wild
position where it is, the description of it, the actual dimensions of it, everything about it, man. Even the descriptions of it and like the colors of the rocks that are in that area. It matches so many details.
Oh, it's a Mauritania. Okay.
Isn't that nuts?
That is amazing. Look at, I mean, that's
again, shout out to Jimmy Corsetti because once, because Randall Carlson dismissed this, but I was like, how are you dismissing this? I don't understand.
I mean, dismissing it based on,
he doesn't think that this is Atlantis. He thinks Atlantis is somewhere else. Maybe he's right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was more than one. I mean, when a bunch of people die at a time where you don't have phones and, you know, you don't have computers, like it's real possible that the myth of Atlantis, you're talking about like a civilization that existed at a certain point in time. And it might not have just been this one incredible city, but it's probably multiple cities that existed that just don't exist anymore, just completely flattened. And then some people remembered this one. You know, that's also part of the equation that you have to like look at. When you see that kind of insane water erosion, like how much did people just have no recollection of?
Right.
But it's all lines up numbers-wise. This is what's nuts. Homer was talking about it being 9,000 years old. That's 2,000 years ago. That's at the time of the Younger Dryas impact theory. It's the same time period.
Right. So it like, lines up perfectly for it.
It lines up perfectly. The description is perfect. The position is perfect. Again, I'm a moron. But don't listen to me. Go listen to other people that are interested in it. Because I became I probably watched 30 videos on it. It's wild.
That's incredible.
Because
that's
it's like,
so cool looking.
It looks like Atlantis. It looks like the way they described it. God. There's so many people that are resisting. There's a really interesting thing in archaeology where there's, you know, there's not disrespectful to archaeology. It's an amazing thing. I'm glad you guys are out there. But there's a lot of people that do not want anyone to find something out before they have. And they do not want anyone to uncover something before that. They have, especially if these people are not credentialed academics.
Okay.
They're not PhDs. They're not doctors. I'm Dr. Smith, and I'm out here finding this. You know, they don't want, like, regular people looking at Google images and going, hey, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And let's go and do it. And then, like, let's look at the history of the description of the place. Actually, it lines up exactly. They don't want to have missed that. So they'll try to dismiss it with every fiber of their being rather than give ground and give credibility to these amateurs.
Yeah, that's what happens in like the with like those true crime community people, you know, because they'll sometimes like bust a case wide open. Cops and detectives hate it because it's like you're just a guy sitting on your couch at home and you did more than what I did. But, you know, obviously like a detective has all these different cases, like they're not going to make a few mistakes. And some probably do just not give a shit.
Fucking ego.
Yeah, yeah. But that's part of it is that they will just dismiss the leads because somebody will, like, call in and be like, hey, like, have y'all checked this person on this date? Like, ask where they were. And they're like, we did it. Don't worry about it. And, of course, they never did. So it is. So that is kind of similar situation. Like we want to be the ones to find it, not you, so we don't care that you've gone out and done your own thing. And,
exactly.
And have a theory that may be true. I mean, it may be bullshit, but it may be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is very interesting. The whole thing's very interesting because clearly we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle laid out, and there are people that want to pretend that we do, and that's just not the case.
Yeah.
There's too much weird stuff, and there's too much time that passed. And the weird stuff is like Göbekli Tepe and these 11,000-year-old structures and a bunch of stuff that they're finding in Malta. The Malta stuff's nuts. But it's also – it's just – there's no way you can know. Like if you're an expert in like combustion engines and you want to break down, you know, the new Coyote 5.0 that Ford makes and you're an expert in engines, I'm going to listen to you. Because I don't know how it works. How does it work? Why is it so good? How does the supercharger work? And then it does what? Okay. And how do you control all that? And with the ECU and the traction control? Okay. Because you're an expert in that. But you can't be an expert in the entire history of the human race because we don't have all the information. So you're bullshitting. Right. You at least have to be kind of bullshitting.
Yeah.
Like we just found out super recently that there was human beings definitely in North America 22,000 years ago. Super recently.
Yeah. I thought it was even past like earlier than that.
Could be. Maybe they've updated it.
I thought, but well, maybe
I know
maybe
the
not,
footprints.
Yeah.
Those New Mexico footprints. The New Mexico footprints, I believe, are 22,000 years ago.
So what did they think before that?
13. That was Clovis first. That was the people that thought the Clovis people. But again, you don't fucking know.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. I mean, that long ago when people found out about like the Vikings coming over to New England. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, that was a somewhat recent discovery. I mean, obviously not like in the past couple of years, but it was not very well known that like Leif Erikson's son, I guess it was Eric the Red. Yeah, so Leif Erikson like coming over, you know, 500 years before Columbus.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, and then they were here. I mean, they just didn't settle,
in North
so
America.
It's not significant, but you know, they were here. And who's to say that there weren't people way before them? And then there's all these different routes you can take, and there's the ideas of like the Phoenicians coming, or maybe the Egyptians like coming into South America. You know, even longer than that, like thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
Like there's those theories, which, yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Well, there's also all the stuff in the Amazon, right? The lost city of Z, like that stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's amazing. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. I read the book, too.
Yeah.
What's interesting about the story about the lost city of Z is that it all changed in 100 years. So if it's true... In the 1500s, that first guy goes, and he gives everybody cooties, and he doesn't know. And then they come back 100 years later to see if he was telling the truth, and everybody's dead.
Right.
Everybody's dead, and all the cities are gone in 100 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, he was bullshitting. We got there's no fucking cities made out of gold. The guy's an asshole. Because the jungle ate it.
Yeah, which 100 years is such a long time for
jungle.
Like that kind of like
vegetation, wooden structures.
Forest. Yeah, I mean, that's not a... Yeah, it's not the middle of the desert where, you know, those structures will last for thousands of years.
Like, I mean, what was that like? Because I forget the gentleman's name who was the first explorer.
Percy Fawcett.
Thank you. Percy Fawcett? The first guy? No, that was the second guy.
He's the guy that disappeared.
Yeah, right. Percy
Fawcett. He's the guy that got eight in the movie.
Yeah. Like the Rockefeller kid. Yeah.
It says he's the one that formulated the idea about a lost city named Z.
Right. But who was the first explorer to the Amazon that reported these incredible cities? Because that was in the 1500s. I think Percy Cortez? Fawcett. No.
Was it somebody like that?
They found a document.
No, it was a European guy who was a explorer who went specifically to try to travel the length of the Amazon River.
It's believed to have been written by a Portuguese named João da Silva Gumeres.
Yeah.
1753.
1753?
That he had discovered the ruins of an ancient city that contained arches.
Right. No, there was a guy from the 1500s.
This is what I'm reading it from Wikipedia.
No, I understand. But there was I was watching this video where they were talking about this guy who was initially from the 1500s, who was the first to describe what he saw there, and that he saw thriving populations, like incredibly sophisticated agricultural setups, like these people, they lived like in harmony with the rainforest in some strange way. Like instead of like, because what the video was about they were trying to reconcile how you could get enormous populations of people that lived in this area without the kind of agriculture that we assume you need to have in order to support these kind of populations.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they did something different and integrated somehow with the rainforest. And it was also about that stuff that Hancock has talked about, terra preta, the type of soil that they had created. It's a man-made, like, composted soil.
Yeah.
And they talked about this too. But in this documentary, they were going over the guy who came in the 1500s and the guy who visited. It might have been the Y files.
I'm seeing known Italian navigator Christopher Columbus enters the area in 1498, known as present day Venezuela. 2 years later, Pinzon sails into the Amazon. This is the same year Brazil is being accidentally found by Portuguese explorer Cabral while en route to the Orient. 40 years later, a guy named Orellana.
God, I wish I could remember the name of the guy.
Yeah.
But the point is, the first people to go there that were Europeans that went back to Europe described these insanely sophisticated cultures that had millions of people living in it.
Right.
They had huge populations.
Yeah.
And they talked about the elaborate headgear they wore, like the way they dressed, and there was gold everywhere. And so everybody was like, oh, we're going to go back and get rich. And they went back and everyone was dead.
That's so crazy. I mean, could you imagine, like... You'd feel like such a jackass, you know, having everybody come back there and you're...
Well, it's essentially what we did with North America. My grandparents came here in the 20s. But essentially when Europeans came here, that's what killed 90% of Native Americans.
Yeah.
Which is...
I mean, it was the same in like the Indies, you know, whenever Columbus came. And came
everywhere.
Just massive amounts of people.
Just like China did to us. Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, sure. Not really, they didn't, but they killed a lot of things. But it's just bizarre that we've missed that chapter, and it wasn't until LIDAR that they started to realize, like, oh, there's like sophisticated grid work down here that seems to indicate that there's aqueducts. It seems like there's like places where there was channels and paths and
Well, we have like, I mean, there's obviously like a Eurocentric idea, but a lot of the times, and where we think like, oh, we're the only ones who could have ever come up with like these advanced technologies and like had these advanced civilizations. And you look, and it was like in Africa, there was all sorts of like massive civilizations. And
which is about the Aztecs.
And then of course, like, South America is a huge, I mean, like the Olmecs, Aztecs, Mayans. I mean,
especially the Aztecs though. Like,
the Aztecs is a,
Their stuff is nuts, man. Yeah. Their stuff was nuts. Like, can you imagine what experiencing that must have been like? The first people that were, like, Europeans that, like, stumbled upon these immense Aztec cities. Like, what is happening here?
That was Cortez. Cortez was the first, I think for the Aztecs. Cortez.
Right?
Yeah.
On horse, where they thought he was a god.
Yeah.
That's the other nutty thing, that we brought horses over here. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they used to be over here, and then they all died off, and then we brought them back.
Yeah. God, no. That's crazy. So great. You know, Thomas Jefferson brought mac and cheese here.
He's the guy?
Mm-hmm.
made it popular. I mean, like, it was like nobody ate that shit. He went to Paris, you know, obviously, like, for pre-American Revolution to get some buddies going. And, yeah, brought back mac and cheese. Also, like, one of the first Americans to cultivate tomatoes.
Really?
People thought they were poisonous, which to an extent they are. I mean, it's
I was reading about that, like, that you should really avoid nightshades.
Yeah, it's
like,
a nightshade. Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
But it's, they taste so good.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I mean, every Italian in the world just, you know.
Yeah, I want to get, like, one of those blood work things done to see, like, what foods you're supposed to not be eating forever. You know, it's probably horseshit. But, you know, like, for your blood type. You know that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did one of those a long time ago, and they told me to avoid avocados. And I'm like, fuck you.
What the fuck? Avocados are, like, isn't that, like, good for everyone? Like, who
that's what I thought. It was one of them wacky things where I was very skeptical going in. I'm like, all right, I'll try it. Let's see what I should and should be eating. Well, it seems like avocados. Like, what are you talking about?
That's insane.
I'm not stomping guacamole, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I couldn't be.
No,
I can't.
There's no way it's that bad for you.
Avocados are very good for you. Yeah. From what I thought, nobody should be taking
that. What kind of weird genetic
me.
Fucking defect would you have to have where avocados are killing you? That seems crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, peanuts. Look at that. I mean, you know, Texas Roadhouse damn near went bankrupt over all that stuff.
Really?
Kind of. I mean, but they don't do
they
the whole.
They should have sued the vaccine companies.
Should have.
But you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they don't do the whole, you know, you used to go in there and you can crush up your peanuts and you just dump that shit on the floor,
I know.
Smash it in with your
Isn't
feet.
Isn't that nuts? They used to have them anymore. At Five Guys. You used to go to Five Guys and have peanuts.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody's dying.
I know.
You can't even eat them in the room because if someone is near you that has a severe peanut allergy, that's why they don't have them on planes anymore. Remember they used to have them on planes?
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't even eat peanut. Like if you and I were sitting next to each other on a plane and I have a severe peanut allergy and you start eating them, I could die just sitting next to you, breathing your peanutty air.
God, what a great way to kill someone if you really wanted to and get away with it.
I didn't know.
Just peanut dust somewhere.
Yeah.
Just eat a PB&J and just pocket peanuts, just throw them.
Yeah, have some mashed up peanuts you toss on them.
God,
like
what
fucking anthrax.
Great way to kill someone.
It is nuts. Yeah. Like for everybody else, it's just yummy part of Snickers, and for you, it's basically anthrax.
It is because I'm allergic to seafood, like shellfish, any shellfish.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're also allergic to roaches. Then you can't eat roaches. And you know how we found that out?
Yeah,
Fear Factor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what was from that. Yeah,
that's how I found that out.
Well, because there is a thing where scientists who research cockroaches tend to develop an allergy to coffee and to roaches, and I think also to shellfish.
Wow.
Yeah, like, because they're just studying roaches constantly, which, what a fucking job.
Ugh.
But, they end up developing a coffee allergy. But yeah, that's interesting.
Why coffee? Because they're just drinking coffee all the time?
I don't know. I mean, probably because roaches are. Yeah.
Wow.
Coffee
beans. Some people can develop an allergy to coffee if they're also allergic to cockroaches. So the becoming allergic to cockroaches, kind of working with them, is what makes them allergic to.
Yep.
So it's tropomyosin.
Yep.
A common allergen. Cross-reactivity means individuals allergic to cockroaches may also experience allergic reactions when consuming coffee. Particularly pre-ground coffee.
See, in my mind, I thought it was because there was a bunch of cockroaches in pre-ground coffee.
Ew.
There's bugs and, like, all
there are ground-up cockroaches in your morning coffee.
Mind.
Jesus Christ, you're right. Oh, no. Bug parts and ground coffee. So it's ground coffee. Just get some Black Rifle beans, kids. Stay away from ground coffee. Plus, ground coffee is for savages. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, Folgers.
Grind that shit up.
No, you got a good.
You drink Folgers?
I don't drink coffee, but if I did, I'd drink Folgers.
Why would you drink
Maxwell
that?
House. I don't know. I mean, I grew up poor and
white
trash.
Yeah, but coffee's not expensive. It's only expensive at Starbucks.
Well, that's true.
Like regular coffee, but like buy a bag of beans, get a grinder, pour hot water. Get it in one of these bitches, French press.
My God. Just
push that down after a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You want to hear it? Here, listen to this.
Okay. That does actually sound... that sounds fucking
good.
Amazing.
Hold on,
incredible.
Hold on. Delicious.
Yeah.
That's real coffee. You don't want that fucking ground up bullshit. Unless you do.
Yeah.
Unless you know what's legit, though? Those little packets that Starbucks has where it's like instant coffee. Those are legit.
Yeah.
They figured that out. They did a really good job of like developing that formula. I think is it called a Vero or something like that? What's that Starbucks instant coffee? It's very legit. Like, I've mixed it up with hot water on camping trips and hunting trips and stuff. It's like, this is pretty fucking good.
That's not bad, then.
Yeah, it's good. It's like, it tastes like real coffee.
Yeah.
Like, but I think, like, that was complicated to me. I don't think, like, the cheaper instant coffee has that kind of...
No, I'm sure not.
Because if you like coffee, not, like, I like the flavor. I like what it tastes like.
Yes. I do, too. It just gives me panic attacks.
Do you try the... Well, and then there's the decaf.
Decaf gives me a fucking headache, and I don't know how they did it.
Right.
Yeah.
How are you doing that?
Yes. Like, what... Like, it's not like you can go in and pick out the cafe, you know? Right. It's not like...
What are you doing?
An ingredient in there, like... You're putting it through some sort of chemical process.
Yeah.
Like, is that safe? I don't think so. I think.
And how many studies have been done on your decaffeination process?
No, I just drink tea. I'm a big tea guy.
Also, like, what tea tastes better? If I was just going to drink, like, if I had a... But also, tea bags have microplastics. You've been reading all that?
Oh, well, I have so much plastic inside of me. I mean, who knows? I mean, the amount of Lunchables I've eaten as a grown up...
of times you put saran wrap over a microwave meal.
Oh my god, so many times. Yeah. And just heat things up in like plastic that's all broken to shit. And you're
always
like, oh, this is
always
good.
Yeah, and then it melts because you left it in there too long. Oh shit. Well, it's okay.
Oh, I've eaten food that tasted like burnt plastic. It sounds like, oh, I don't think this macaroni and cheese is supposed to taste like this, but
there was some sort of article that was saying that many human beings have as much as a plastic, like, coffee spoon worth of plastic in their head.
Like, in their head?
In their head.
How does it get up there?
Blood-brain barrier.
Oh, Jesus.
Microplastics.
Oh.
That microplastics get in your bloodstream. This could be like, the sky is falling. You're all going to die from plastic. It could be. It's hard to know because it's not like, how many brains have you looked at?
Well, yeah, and then also, like, it's not like there is an actual spoon shoved in your head. I mean, it's all spread out.
It's all spread out. But also, like, do you have room for a spoonful of plastic in your head? Because I don't have any room up there.
I think you do in your brain. Your brain's mostly water. Right. I mean, not just you. I'm not insulting you, but, you know.
What your brain filter looks like, if there's plastic everywhere? Concentrations we saw in the brain tissue of normal individuals had an average age of around 45 to 50 years old were 4,800 micrograms per gram, or 0.48%. By weight, it's the equivalent to an entire standard plastic spoon in your fucking head. Compared to autopsy brain samples from 2016, that's about 50% higher, he said. That would mean that our brains today are 99.5% brain and the rest is plastic.
Well, that's not bad. That's a good percentage. 0.5% is not bad.
However, the current methods of measuring plastics may have over or underestimated their levels in the body, Campen said. We're working hard to get a very precise estimate, which I should think we will have within the next year.
So it may be zero and it may be 10%.
Lied. There's no plastic at all in there. It's all in your balls. Plastic in your balls.
Oh, I need some of that. Yeah.
They found that. There's plastic in your balls. It plumps them up a little bit, like fake lips, you
know? I need that desperately. So you know,
when chicks get fillers to hide the wrinkles,
exactly.
Plumps your balls up a little bit.
I'm cool with
microwave dinner plastic.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
It's like we were going over this. What was it? Every month it was a credit card or a week?
I've seen this.
Yeah.
It's a month, I think
it's a
credit card amount of plastic is consumed.
I don't remember if it's a week or a month, but it's something crazy. We're like, where's it all going? Because I've been eating for a long time. Where are these credit cards?
Yeah, you must. Do you not just shit out the plastic credit card?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Remember how this was studied, though? I had to dig into it, and they had studied, like, an animal or something and found it in the animals, and they were like, that means
right, but animals are dumb as shit, right? They eat bottle caps. My dog eats everything.
Every week is what it says.
Oh, Jesus.
My dog eats everything on the ground.
I don't trust animal studies. The only way you really know is if you try it on people.
Right. That's why we got to put them prisoners back in Alcatraz.
Well, do what you got to do. I mean, I'm
ready. That? Trump is opening up Alcatraz again? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's amazing. I mean, a grand opening.
The world's crazy.
Man.
I like fun. And Trump saying he's going to reopen up Alcatraz is fun to me because I know that it's going to be like, wow, what's he doing? Trump says he'll reopen, enlarge, and rebuild Alcatraz. It's going to be the best Alcatraz.
It's not just going to be
Alcatraz. Alcatraz reused a federal penitentiary since 1963 at a capacity of roughly 300 people. I went there as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was in, what grade was I? I was in San Francisco from age 7 to 11. So I think I was 8 years old. I went over there at a little school trip. We went on a ferry. You go to Alcatraz, and you think about, like, how the fuck someone could swim. There's a dude, Nick Diaz, a UFC fighter. Yeah. He's done it 5 times.
Swim from Alcatraz.
Yeah, 5 times.
I wouldn't do that. You could
in shark-infested water, by the way.
You couldn't fucking pay me to do that.
Fuck all that.
No. I mean, I can swim like a motherfucker, but...
But do you know the kind of balls you have to have to know that, you know, you don't have a life vest, you're just swimming. You have to be able to swim all the way to shore with sharks underneath you everywhere. Yeah. And you know... If they bite you, you're dead, and you know they bite people.
I'd rather just be in prison, really.
Yeah, but he's doing it for funsies.
Oh, you're talking about Diaz.
Nick Diaz does it in between MMA fights. He's doing this.
Well, the Diaz brothers, that's a set of balls unlike, you know, like no other. Like, those guys are legends, you know.
For sure.
In every sense of the word. So that doesn't surprise me at all, actually, that they, you know, that they swim in from Alcatraz. Makes sense.
Well, people miss Nick's prime. Because Nick's prime, a lot of it happened in Strikeforce. Like, people missed that.
That's
when he was just, like, just so dominant.
So he came into the UFC kind of later into his career.
Well,
or
he
late-ish.
Started the UFC very early. So he knocks out Robbie Lawler early in his career, has some great fights early in his career. So he was in the UFC early on, but then left the UFC and went over to Strikeforce, where I think he, like, reached his prime.
Okay.
Like, when he beat Frank Shamrock and Cyborg. Like, he was in his fucking prime over there. Yeah. Like, a world championship caliber prime. But that guy would swim across from Alcatraz in between his, like, he's training for fights.
Yeah.
And in between training for fights, he's running triathlons and hitting the bong while he's doing it. Like, it's hilarious. He's high as fuck running triathlons.
You ever just see someone and you're like, you're so different than me?
So different.
Like, our lives couldn't be more different. Like,
my friend Cam Haynes right now is running a 250-mile race with a broken foot. What? Bro, if my foot was broken, I would get it fixed and I definitely wouldn't run. I might not ever run again.
He's doing half of the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
On a broken foot.
On a broken foot. Going through the mountains.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, pass, please.
I mean, I wouldn't even go do that Fat Boy 5K. You think I'm going to be doing that?
Courtney Dowalder's currently in second place. She's already run 48 miles today.
That's so nuts.
When did it
Courtney Dowalter, we've started? Had her on the podcast before. She's an animal. Wait, like a pure animal.
So it started this morning? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
48 miles.
She's behind by 3 miles right now.
Who's ahead of her?
A guy named Haroldis Subertas.
Does he win these things? There's like only a few people that, like, she's one of them. Courtney's one of them. There's only a few people that win these things. A lot of people start off real fast, but you can't keep it up for 3 days.
Could you imagine running 48 miles in a day and you're in second place?
Like, not even imagine, in a day.
Yeah.
In like 5 hours.
Well, yeah. Like, but you imagine, like, you're running 48 miles and you're like, well, you lost.
Yeah.
Like,
bro, you're way, you're Jesus. 3 miles behind. Like, what?
I'd put a shotgun in my mouth so quick before I did any of that.
But
God.
We need people like you, and we need people like them. That's the beautiful thing about the human race, is that we're all so fucking different.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many versions of humans out there, and we should, really, we should celebrate that.
I love it.
That's a good thing.
I love how different, like, whenever I go back and look at, like, people from history or whatever, that's like one of the things I like the most about it, is like how I'm like, God, that person's night and day different from me. But that's so cool that they did what they did, or, you know, whatever. Like a Teddy Roosevelt. Like, there's nothing about me that is like Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, how about that dude that ate that guy's heart that had been pickled for like...
Oh, yeah. William Buckland. Yeah, he ate King Louis XIV's heart, which had been
tell
in
that
formaldehyde.
Story.
Yeah, well, yeah, King Louis XIV, just in general, an absolute nut job. The, you know, birthing fetish, like to watch women give birth, which don't we all? But so he dies 130 years later. You know, his heart has been preserved in what I guess would be formaldehyde, and it's sitting in this guy's office, basically. And a fellow, I think he was like the Archbishop of Canterbury, I don't know, some lord, whatever their little fruity little names they give each other, but then this fellow named William Buckland comes in and who had kind of like a notorious big stomach, ate a lot of weird shit, and he saw the heart and was like, holy hell, that's the heart of King Louis XIV. I've never eaten the heart of a king before, so how about I just give it a try?
And then they come in, come back in, and he's eating the damn heart.
Raw?
Well, preserved. I mean, it's about as preserved as it gets. It's been preserved for 130
years. But he's
not even
cooking it. That's my point.
No, just, no. He didn't have like a hot plate in there.
Just pulling it out.
Yeah, it wasn't in the microwave.
Imagine being in the room with that guy when he takes those bites. You'd be like,
oh, God.
You'd be retching. Like, what are you doing, man?
The smell of formaldehyde. Have you ever dissected like an animal?
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah. That smell is like a smell that I can smell it right now thinking about it, you know? Like, it's one of those things that never leaves you. It's like a dead body smell.
Biting into a raw heart with that smell. It's probably pretty tender.
He tried to eat everything.
He doffs his cap to Victorian feud hero, a gentleman whose ambition was to eat an example of every animal in existence. Again, this Courtney Dolwalter and Cam Haynes who are running 250 miles right now, and this dude is like, I want to eat one of everything. I want to eat a fucking rat.
I mean, what a...
This guy ate rats. He probably had rabies. He kept a pet jackal in his house. This guy had a jackal in his house. He built the country's first mosque, had a jackal in his house. He lived in a hut made from driftwood, dressed as a mermaid, and excommunicated his cat.
That's somebody else, though.
I really should have done
a guy named Robert Hawker.
Oh. To the west, famed Cornish poet Robert Stephen Hawker lived in a... So this is not him?
Just a bunch of weird guys that were living in that time,
So this is a different cat.
Then it goes into that.
Oh, this is a different cat.
Oh, yeah, not any of these were...
Oh, I thought it was the same guy. Okay, this is just a bunch of weirdos all throughout history. So Major General Charles George Gordon.
So it's the third paragraph starts the William Buckland, I think.
These are all eccentric guys from...
Different people.
So then right here, Buckland was born. Yeah, I think that's all going to be about him.
This is also pretty good, though. Don't leave this out.
Right. Okay. So this guy, Major General Charles George Gordon, a British Army officer whose day job saw him fight a series of bloody campaigns across the Middle East and Africa, yet was almost as notorious for believing the earth was encased in a hollow sphere, and that the Garden of Eden was located in the sea somewhere off the coast of...
Seychelles.
People believe that now.
But this guy who ate the heart.
William Buckland, so the man who ate everything, born in 1784, a year in which famine in Japan claimed 300,000 lives and a massive locust swarm hit South Africa. Coincidence, of course, but it fits in the theme of this blog nicely, so I'm leaving it in. So this guy ate everything he could. He had his hand in a huge hyena skull. He suddenly dashed down the steps, rushed skull in hand, the first undergraduate on the front bench, and shouted, "What rules the world?" The youth, terrified, answered not a word. He rushed then onto me, pointing the hyena full in my face. "What rules the world?" "Having an idea," I said. "The stomach, sir," he cried, "rules the world. The great ones eat the less, the lesser still." So he just thought he was going to be great by eating everything.
Here's some of the stuff he was eating.
So his lifelong personal ambition, which is to eat an example of every animal in existence, like some kind of crazed, bloodthirsty Noah. Oh, my God. He ate a porpoise, a puppy, and a panther.
Aw, alliteration.
And that's just the peas. Mice on toast were a regular feature of his no doubt popular soirees.
My God.
He ate a porpoise and a puppy. Jesus Christ.
I mean, the porpoise probably wouldn't be so bad. I'd eat the puppy. It's like dog veal.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily eat.
Like Flagstones to disprove a myth. Myth identifying the flavor as bat urine. How would you know that so quick?
Well, I think he had a real good reason.
But eating the heart, I bet all those years of formaldehyde is probably quite tender, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it probably melts your mouth.
What
like
if it
butter.
Just tasted amazing for some reason?
Right. What do we got you high?
Oh, my God.
Because that's how you find God.
Says some guy had it. A guy had it.
Yeah, Lord Harcourt. That's who I was talking about. Yeah.
Esoterica. Imagine how mad he'd be finding out some guy ate your heart that you've been saving.
I'd be pissed.
The worst thing Buckland ever ate, blue bottles. What does that blue bottles mean? Is that...
It's a tie.
About to find out.
I had a fish starter at Mezzo's. I think this is...
Might be some sort of...
is it just a joke about that?
Blue bottles. What could that be? Unless he's actually eating glass?
I don't think that's what it...
Oh! Portuguese man of war. Oh!
It's a pretty cool looking thing.
Wow, that looks like a mermaid.
Yeah.
Click on that one, the upper... Yeah, right there. No, the one to the right of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that fucking thing.
Yeah, you know, wild. I kind of do want to eat that. I'm sort of with him on this.
So is that like that a jellyfish?
Good. Yeah, Manowar's a jellyfish.
So that must be insanely toxic.
But I think Manowar, aren't they like, yeah, like super venomous? He ate
that? Of course it's the maybe worst thing ever. It's like literally could kill you.
That doesn't seem like it'd be the worst thing, though.
Well, he didn't eat everything. I guess he probably died along the way. Like, you can only do that for so long before your body says, fuck you.
Yeah, I wonder how long he lived.
Yeah, how long did that guy live? Find out how long that guy...
have you ever heard
how old was that guy when he died?
1856? Oh, he lived for a pretty good amount
of time. Pretty decent amount of time.
84 to 72.
Pretty decent amount of time eating everything he could.
That's a ripe age for...
Back then, too, when there's no fucking doctors. The doctors are all guessing.
Yeah, and like, just coming to your house one after another. And
you break your leg, they bust out a meat saw.
Yeah, like, wash my hands.
They tie that fucking leg down and saw it off at the hip. And you're screaming. Yeah. They tell you to bite a piece of leather. That was a doctor back then.
They thought germs didn't exist.
Yeah, they were
Lister.
Dirty fingers, pulling babies out. Everybody's dying of sepsis. Nuts.
Have you ever heard of a tarar?
What's
that? Tarar was a guy, a T-A-R-R-A-R-E, I think.
What's this, Jamie?
He kind of discovered dinosaurs.
Jeez.
What? Same guy?
Yeah.
That ate everything?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's another fun one. The dinosaurs aren't real? That's a fun one.
I can buy it to an extent because there are so many fakes.
The reality, in the early days of dinosaur research, there was two guys that were competing with each other, and they were faking fossils.
Yeah,
that's true. But also, dinosaurs are real. But also, like that alligator gar, that's a fucking living dinosaur.
Well, yeah.
Well, they used to exist for sure.
Well, some of the like real big ones, you're like, they've never found one of those. They just find like
some stuff, right?
They find some stuff and then they go, well, we think it probably looked like this based on its vertebrae looking like this.
Right.
And when you go see the skeleton at the Perot Museum or wherever, that's all fake. Like there's maybe one piece in there that's real.
Right.
Like there are. So I can kind of get the skepticism behind that a little bit.
Yeah.
But to say like, oh, the whole thing's like that there is no such thing as a dinosaur, that's bullshit.
It seems silly that people would just lie openly about that. But there are some that are intact. Like they found some raptors that are intact. They found some stuff that's intact. I have a friend and his buddy found a fucking T-Rex in Montana.
Completely intact.
I don't know how much of it they found. Yeah. They found quite a bit of it, though. But to the point where they brought in a professional excavation and they pulled out this big-ass fucking T-Rex
in
Montana.
Could you imagine?
Bro, Montana used to be a part of the Great Inland Sea. There was a sea in that. There's like seashells up there, which is nuts.
Jesus. That's probably what like the Badlands were, I imagine.
What was it called? There was like a particular name for like the Great – there was a North American like inland ocean.
Yeah.
It is bananas, man.
Ocean of America. Yeah, that's a...
And there's T-Rexes around it. Like...
That's... God.
Imagine if there was like one point in the history, Western Interior Seaway.
Oh, so that's what it looked
like. A large inland sea that existed roughly over present-day Great Plains of North America. Wow.
That's...
If there was a time that you could just... Look at that. Look at what it used to look like. That's so nuts.
So there's a,
And look at the Appalachians. Like, that's what America looked like. Florida was completely underwater. That's nuts. Most of Texas.
Be back soon. That's,
like, where we are is, like, above water, but fuck, man. That's crazy how much water there was.
Okay, there's a good,
isn't that nuts?
So all of Texas is underwater.
Yeah, it's the whole Texas. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, Nevada's not.
And Tulsa's all right. They made it out.
Massachusetts is okay.
Yeah.
That is crazy to see how big that was.
Yeah, that's...
And there's all kinds of nutty shit that was living in that water, too, man.
Jesus, yeah. I mean, because a gar is, like, the least of... That's like a minnow compared to some of the shit that was.
It's a chicken compared to, like, a great eagle.
Yeah.
You know, that, like a host eagle. The eagles that hunted people in New Zealand.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Eagles jack people.
Yeah.
God. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
They think that's why they went extinct.
I hope they bring dinosaurs back.
They probably are going to.
Yeah. I mean, part of me is kind of against it, but then part of me is because Jurassic Park's my favorite movie. So
they got the leather. Did you see someone bring leather?
T-Rex
leather. T-Rex purse.
Yeah, they're going to make T-Rex purses. I'm going to get a T-Rex fanny pack.
Jesus.
For sure.
I mean,
I'm going to rock that shit.
What more badass of a thing could there possibly be than a T-Rex fanny pack?
I know, right?
I'm with you.
Yeah, like T-Rex Crocs.
Company claims leather made from 66-million-year-old dinosaur DNA is coming. Right. Yeah, so I think some people are very skeptical about this. We should probably say this is one of the things that the guys from Colossal were telling me, the guys who resurrected the dire wolf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were telling me, Ben Lamb was telling me, that when it comes to like DNA of dinosaurs, they don't really have DNA of dinosaurs. It's too old. They don't have like full DNA profiles, right? Or whatever you would call it. But what they will be able to do is sort of engineer a dinosaur, which is even crazier. Like take the surviving creatures, like chickens, shit like that have dinosaur DNA, because chickens are full on dinosaurs.
Yeah,
take their DNA and engineer a T-Rex out of that, or a raptor. A raptor like way smarter than a crow. How about that?
Like hunting
people through the woods, little 5-foot fucking creepy super lizard that can run 50 miles an hour.
Clever girl. That would be, God.
Dude.
I'd love it. I hope they do.
They could do that. They're really, look, if they can take human beings and integrate them with tardigrade DNA and have them become fucking superheroes, they can make a dinosaur.
Man,
they made a wolf. They made dire wolves. They made three of them,
which is insane. So crazy too.
It's nuts. Like they exist. They're like, I think they're like 11 months old now or something like that.
Oh, it's that. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't. Ben Lamb told me he doesn't go around them anymore. Like he bottle fed them when they were puppies, but then when they got to a certain age, he's like, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Like after like 4 or 5 months, like I think we're done. What was that, Jamie?
It's just that the T-Rex DNA is 66 million years old. It dies, the DNA starts to go away as soon as they die, and the oldest preserved DNA on record currently is only 2 million years old.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it wouldn't be a T-Rex, I guess.
So it wouldn't be a T-Rex, but they might be able to make exactly what we think a T-Rex was.
Yeah,
but we would be really off, because we don't know what their tissue looked like. That's where it gets really strange. Like all the stuff that rots away.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen like an artist depiction of what, if they take a hippo skull, like what an artist depiction of what the animal could look like?
No.
It looks like a monster.
Oh, yeah,
like
I would imagine. Monster.
And then you see the reality. It's like, oh, hungry, hungry hippo, big old sweetie.
Right.
Like, hippo looks like a sweetie with cute little ears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then artists have depicted it like if we didn't know what it looked like, maybe it looked like this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Have you seen?
That's crazy.
Yeah, the meme says how aliens would reconstruct it. So
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, still.
Let's see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, so, like the one in the middle. But you could, like, if you came from another planet and you saw this, like, oh my God, this thing must have been a terrific looking beast. Yeah. Oh, wow. The skull. How aliens would reconstruct the animal, and it's an elephant. Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I bet that's where the Cyclops myth comes from.
Seen elephant skulls?
Yeah.
That actually makes I've never seen an elephant skull, so I had no clue there was. Which
does they have
sense,
a big hole?
The trunk.
I don't even know if that's
where the trunk is.
Yeah.
Google
elephant skull.
I think it is, Jamie.
That's got to be. I mean, it makes sense because the trunk just goes right to the mouth.
Look at
that. Yeah.
Bro, that has to be where the Cyclops comes from. Has to be,
has
right?
Has to, yeah.
Especially if you found a female one that didn't have tusks.
Elephant skull. I think it's listening to you, but.
Bro.
Elephant skull.
What'd you say, Jamie?
I didn't even type in Cyclops, and it was the first thing that was on top.
Maybe it's because that's a theory that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, well, there was
I know, but I've been noticing
this happen. Yeah, look, it says that right there. Reddit. The Cyclops is likely inspired by
elephants.
I've
been noticing this happen a lot. You'll be saying something.
You think the government's listening?
The first thing I'll type
Well, they're helping us.
It's auto-completing what you just
said. They're fans of the show, Jamie. They're trying to help out.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you found stuff from a long... I mean, what do you think... Here's one that always gets me. Stories of giants.
I want that to be real so bad. I mean, I want all of this.
That the Smithsonian's been hiding the information. Yeah. Those are the big conspiracies.
Could be.
Down in their basement, they've got like a 10-foot-tall human being. A race of giants that existed, roamed the earth.
Yeah.
David and Goliath's a real story.
It just seems like they wouldn't be gone. They wouldn't be the ones that would have been killed off.
Unless. In the cataclysm, like the Younger Dryas impact theory, there wasn't enough food.
Oh,
and they died off, you know? Because if you're that big, you need to eat a lot.
So you think they were around, like, way long ago.
Way
long
ago.
Died off way long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think like recently, but I think like,
yeah,
it is. There's so many stories and so many cultures have these stories, even in the Bible, of a race of giants.
Yeah.
Like it seems like it couldn't just be big people.
Right.
It seems like what I mean, they're talking about is something crazy.
I guess it could be if you're just because if you're just mythologizing, there's no way that's a word. But if you're just turning something that is real, this is the same with like a dragon. You know, people obviously just get inspired by things that are around them. They start to morph into things. I mean, there was no fire breathing animal flying around.
Probably crocodiles and shit like
that. Yeah, crocodiles, and then there are like cobras that spit venom, which obviously gets in your eyes. Probably gonna burn like a son of a bitch. So like, there's like the fire myth. I mean,
and people exaggerate.
Yeah. So exactly that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So like, people will take somebody who is a big son of a bitch, and they go, "Oh, well, let's exaggerate and say that the guy he fought was 9 feet tall,
instead of
6'5".
Exactly.
Which he probably was. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, when you talk about races of these giants, you could also be talking about like people from Iceland.
Yeah. Right? Who were naturally
enormous big Viking as hell. Dudes.
Yeah,
who were always win those fucking strongmen competitions. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys are, there's giants up there, like 400, like the mountain from Game of Thrones, like that kind of person. So you think about that, like that size human.
Right.
There could have been a bunch of those around, and maybe that's what they were talking about, giants. Or there could have been like a specific race of humans. Like they keep finding these additional types of humans. Like they found Denisovans fairly recently, and then that other one that we brought up the other day, the big-headed people, that's fairly recently. They've discovered that this is a completely different branch. That there may, I mean, but here's the thing. If they did find those, would they tell us? Like if archaeologists, like who would put the cap on that? If they found like a 10-foot human under like a just gigantic dead human with a huge sword underground, like would they just say, we're wrong, giants existed? Or would they go, people can't handle this?
That's a tough, because that's the answer, that's the question for so many things.
It's they like, might say people can't handle it. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
I would say, they probably say.
Isn't that infuriating?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it was you? Now imagine you're out in West Texas, wherever you are, hanging out with your friends, and somebody notices something in the ground, and you start digging, and you pull out a fucking thigh bone that's this big, and you plop it down, and you go, what the fuck is that? And then you got a buddy who works at the university nearby, and he starts digging. He's like, hey, dude, this is a fucking human foot. And he pulls out a human foot that's size 38. And you're like, what is going on, man? And so then you bring in some experts, and they're like, holy shit, dude, this is a giant. And then they do DNA tests. They find out it's a real actual creature.
Yeah. I'm telling everyone.
Yeah. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. The scientists will kill you. They're going to run you off the road.
Yeah,
I guess. Look at this. Longest, or well, I guess it would be the tallest.
That people have ever found?
That they've ever found. It was found in China. It's supposedly about 4,400 years old. Would have been about 16, 18 years old. The weird thing here is, though, that it says there was 3 drill holes found in the skull, and they don't know why.
Whoa, drill holes. Mm-hmm. How big was it?
6'4".
Oh.
Oh, fuck me.
Well, back then, that was probably fucking huge.
Well, you said they found it in China?
Yeah.
That's a giant.
And they're calling it, call it a giant.
Well, it might be Mongolian,
Well. Well, also I just mean compared to the Chinese that are found, they're probably like, holy shit, this
Goliath is anywhere from modern day, maybe they say up to 6'6", but like taking the word for word from the Bible, it would have been about 9'9".
Yeah, that's what I always thought. That's what I always remember as a kid.
Weight size.
Right. Well, if you're back then, nobody had any food, and the average man was probably like 5'4". So if you encounter some dude who's 6'6", some big jack guy, that is a giant.
That's a giant.
And then also, you got to think, human beings, if they exist today and they're 6'6", they had a potential to be that big back then. They just didn't get the food.
Yeah.
But if you are in some very nutrient-rich environment,
both those guys play pro basketball.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Muggsy Bogues?
Muggsy Bogues, yeah.
But there's smaller people that exist that can function and do stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But what's crazy is that the potential for that guy, the Yao guy, who's how tall is he?
7'7", I think.
Right, that exists in the human genome, right? That's not like we engineered them like we did dogs.
Right.
Like, that exists.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe back then, if you had a ton of food and you didn't have to worry about war, like, and people just kept breeding and growing and getting nutrient rich. Because the thing about people in the past is they didn't have any fucking food, man.
Yeah.
Like, the average size of a guy who fought in the Civil War was, I think, 125 pounds or something crazy like that.
5'4" and 120, I think, is
nuts.
The thing. Yeah.
Starving to death. It's like starving to death, shooting people with muskets.
Like a 14-year-old girl. I mean, that's nuts. Like, yeah.
Right? And all they needed was food. You know, you give them, you give them protein, and then they grow normal sized, which is really wild.
Yeah. Because there's tons of people that are well over 7 feet. It's not like it's, I mean, it is an anomaly compared to.
Speaking of, there's one guy in the Civil War, 7'6". He would have stood out a little bit, but everybody else was 5'8", average.
He was 7'6" in the Civil War. Holy shit.
Is that, that's not a picture of him, I guess. Yeah, right.
But the thing about the stories in the Bible, though, it's like these are like mystical giants, the Nephilim, you know?
Isn't look at this guy. Tallest man. So he's, there you go.
Bro, you do not want to box that guy.
7'6".
7'6".
That's
well,
a big
she
dude.
Must be pretty tall.
Yeah.
I mean.
She probably needed to do that big, take care of her.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. She can be in this 5'8" guy.
Yeah, she can't be fucking with me.
She's like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah. She'll hold me down. I'll have to fight that lady to the death.
No chance.
She needs a big man. Yeah. She's a big giant man to fuck her correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, but the stories from the Bible and the stories from, like, you know, different, like, even the, like, the ancient Sumerian culture, like, when they had the depictions of the Anunnaki and these big giant people.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Like, what is that all about? Like, is that a story about a thing that used to be real, or is it bullshit? Because it seems like the more we uncover with ancient history, just like Troy and probably Atlantis, the more you realize, like, none of it was bullshit. It was just their version of trying to tell you the story.
Yeah,
you know, and that all this stuff about the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, and all there's probably is there's some sort of a story. It's just parsing out what it really was after 1,000 years of people just telling it before somebody writes it down.
Yeah, that's. I think it's more just you know, you're getting word of mouth over. So, like, such a long time, and it's probably exaggerated from the jump because you're just trying to tell a story. Like, creativity isn't a new thing, you know? People were always creative and
always lying.
Yeah, and always lying and always trying to, like, use their imagination. Exaggerate. Yeah. And ultimately to create some sort of allegory.
Right.
So I don't think any of it was true. I think it was all just, you know, I think it makes sense how it all got created and how every culture has their own version. And
to me, it's like an echo of the truth. It's like there's an echo there. Like, God, what was the original thing? What was it all about? Because, like, there's an echo to a lot of it, a lot of ancient stories and a lot of religious stories, too. They're just like, man, I think something was going on. And I think this is the echo of, like, this historical depiction of probably something real that went down. Like the Noah and the Ark story. I think that's a historical... that's a depiction of that flood that we saw that wiped out Atlantis.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's part of the Epic of Gilgamesh. It's a giant flood. I mean, that's the oldest story ever written that we know of. I mean, and it's not the only one that depicts a massive flood. Pretty much every religion that's that old has some story involving a flood. And
I think when you apply that to all the other stories, too, you should probably assume that it wasn't fiction. It might not be accurate because of all the factors that we already laid out, because of people, but it's probably the echoes of a real story.
Well, the flood is, so I do think that, because that's part of allegory, is like taking something that is real and then you just make like almost a fairy tale out of it.
Right.
But like you still have the, because you're telling, almost in that sense, you're like saving history, like you're preserving history, but you're not doing it in the sense that we would do it now, where we would like dictate time and date and names.
Right,
so you're just
right.
saying, oh, there was this great event that happened in our ancestors' time. And
if they figured this out, imagine if they figured out all these things thousands and thousands of years ago. Then you have the flood, the impacts, society has to rebuild, and then you're telling these stories over and over and over after all this time.
Yeah.
That would kind of account for a lot of things.
For sure.
And one of them would be that God created the universe in 6 days.
Yeah.
Because, like, what is the Big Bang?
Right.
What is 6 days? Like, what are you saying? Like, what does that mean? Is it just a short amount of time? Is that what you're trying to say? Right. Is that like 72 virgins? Yes. You know when they say 72 virgins in heaven, they don't really mean 72 right. virgins. It's like a fuckload. It's yes. like the way of saying a fuckload. Yeah, yeah. Like when you say God created the universe in 6 days, like maybe that means, maybe that's the Big Bang. Like maybe you're literally talking about the birth of the universe.
Yeah.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah. It could,
just shut, boom. If the universe is infinite, it's been around forever, what is like that quick burst? Like, what is that?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that's a, I mean, that's
if
how.
If you were trying to recall that story.
Right. You would say, yeah, on this day that happened, but ultimately it's just day after day after day, and then 7 days you rest, and otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, if you were trying to explain the birth of the universe that happened, that like, people were talking about it for thousands of years, and then someone wrote it down on clay tablets thousands of years later.
Yeah.
These are just the memories of some ancient knowledge where people really had reached a level of sophistication that we could only imagine.
Yeah.
And they were just flatlined right back to cave people again.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, because like Greek mythology, all those mythology, it's like an actual birth. Like there's, it all starts with like, there's darkness and then there's light.
Yep.
And that's like a common theme with pretty much every religion, every mythology is there was a sea of darkness, then there was light. And
yeah, what if that's their version of the description of the Big Bang?
Yeah, it's just turning on a light.
Right, that's how you describe the Big Bang to someone who has no concept of science. Yeah. Like, no idea. Like, what are you talking about? Atoms? What?
Right.
What, molecules? Subatomic particles? What the fuck are you even saying?
Yeah, exactly. You'd be like, imagine walking into a dark room and flicking a light switch, and suddenly everything's here.
There was light.
Yeah. I mean, that's the common theme throughout any of those religions.
Yeah. Well, I think the appeal of, like, a page like yours and the kind of that kind of thing. It's like people always love to learn cool shit and interesting shit.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's interesting shit about the universe or UFOs or crazy people throughout history. Guy who wrote Outlaw Josie Wales being a piece of shit. Like,
I mean, the KKK is just not good. They aren't big enough assholes.
Meanwhile, it's such a good movie. It sucks.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's not like you can't watch the damn movie, but
you got to separate the man from the art.
Always.
And then also, there's a bunch of other influences, I'm sure, where they wrote the script and changed a bunch of things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. People love learning shit. You just got to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, school, I hated school, but I had a couple teachers that made it interesting. And I loved every day going to those classes. Every other class could get fucked. I was trying to skip. I was trying to do whatever I could to get out of there. Like,
it's unfortunate, right? It's like enthusiasm of the teacher is so important, and the competency of the teacher is so important.
It makes, like, I had a teacher, Mr. Simmons, it was a high school history teacher, and every day would tell like a story kind of similar to that, like, or not every day, but every day before like a big test. That's how he started off. Like, clear your minds, like, don't worry about this test, like, I'm gonna tell you some, and he had like this real deep, like, booming voice. It was like the most fascinating shit ever. And he would just tell this story that had nothing to do with the test. It doesn't matter. Like, he's like, this is just interesting, like, y'all would like this.
That's great. Those people are so important.
I mean, that guy like probably inspired me to do all kind of, like, more probably. Yeah.
It took until I was long out of school before I really started getting interested in learning things.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start really just diving into shit until after school. Like, I felt like all the way through school, through college, you know, got my degree and all that, I don't think I learned a damn thing. I learned that college was a waste of time. That's
you learned how to get some student debt.
Yeah, did I? Yeah. That's all. I didn't learn a fucking thing from any of that.
But they'll tell you that that's the only way to go.
No.
Which is just like, how do you know? We're in space.
Yeah.
But this is crazy. Like, the people in the 1900s figured it out forever. It can't be improved upon. Are you fucking sure?
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Well, listen, brother, really fun talking to you.
Thanks, man.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your channel. It's very fun. And now you know. Mind-blowing stories from history and pop culture. Cody Tucker out now. Really fun talking to you, brother. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, sir. Thank you. Bye, everybody.